All right, so how was your weekend, Luke?
Man, it was good.
I was actually unintentionally. It's not like I was walking around the house all week and going, "Hi, I'm Luke Bryan." I didn't realize I would accidentally fall into it. Like last night, I'm making dinner, and like I'm making eggs.
Kevin Pollak said the same thing when he gets into the Christopher Walken mindset. He said that here. I've seen him say it on dozens of interviews. He said, "I just get stuck in it, and I don't realize, and I'm walking around the house speaking like Christopher Walken."
Shoes.
Did your wife ever say,
"Enough"?
Now, she was one that pointed it out yesterday, though. She's like, "You realize you sound like Luke Bryan today?" I was like, "No, I didn't."
"No.
What? Huh?"
Oh, man.
There was some Pizza Hut commercial that was played during the Cowboy game yesterday. I don't know what Luke Bryan said because I was too busy laughing.
Man, I love pizza.
Yeah, I didn't see that commercial. Chloe asked me about that today. He's like, "Hey, did you see that commercial with Luke Bryan?" I'm like, "No, I wish I had."
It's just him sitting down.
Chloe, do you remember the company?
Pizza Hut. It's him just sitting right there next to a pizza talking about it.
Not sure about it or to it?
I can't recall.
I don't see it on YouTube. I see Blake Shelton and Luke Bryan interview each other on... I don't know what this is. And it's not going to load.
Figures.
I read a story today that Pizza Hut, it's about to go through a major rebranding.
I saw that. Yeah, they're going to be offering things like a balsamic drizzle on some of their pizzas, or curry dusting on the crust. They're trying to update their menu and expand it for ever-changing taste profiles or something like that. Whatever happened to a good old Meat Lovers?
I don't know. Maybe they just changed so many things. That was the big success for Wendy's when they started in the 70s, and I only know this because I worked there as a kid, was they offered a limited menu.
Mm-hmm.
They said, "We're going to do a few things, and we're going to get it damn right."
And that's the way most places should be. Anytime I go someplace where it's, you know, if I have to turn a page in the menu, I'm worried.
Cheesecake Factory. My God. That they...
They have great cheesecake, Chloe.
And their menu, it's like 6 pages long. At least.
And then, of course, years later, I don't know how long it took, Wendy's is offering not as much as Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
But a lot of stuff. Jack in the Box, I don't know how they keep the menus this. Really, you would think it would be the size of the boards out at the airport.
Oh, yeah.
And, of all the things that they offer.
And also constantly changing because they're probably throwing up new stuff.
That's my only concern is when you've got so many things on a menu with a fast food restaurant, the more things you add, the more that I know are already frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-prepared or ready to gonna go into a microwave. And I don't care if the Jack in the Box tacos are frozen. To me, that's their mainstay. If they dropped everything off the menu,
yeah,
they could leave that in the Jumbo Jack.
Yeah, I think for you, your ideal would
Flo,
just be
are you
the tacos.
Sure it was Luke Bryan? Because Blake Shelton keeps coming up with Pizza Hut.
It might be Blake.
That would make more sense because okay. I know he's their spokesperson.
I was wrong. Damn it. Well, I was too busy to laugh. I thought it was him anyway.
Man, that ain't me.
Did you actually audition for the role there?
Yeah, I did, but I didn't realize what they were going for. They said to come in and you know, it's going to be Pizza Hut. So I went there and I talked to the pizza. I didn't realize I was supposed to be talking to the camera. I walked in and I said, "Hello, pizza. Hola, senor pepperoni." I guess they didn't like my bilingual stuff.
Yeah, it's Blake Shelton. That's why I know that's coming up with Luke Bryan.
Yeah, he's a jerk, man. He gets everything. Between him and Miranda, they just win everything. I was lucky to get CMA Entertainer of the Year last week. Oh, look, Miranda's nominated for something. Of course she's going to win it. Why does anyone else show up? Country of Miranda Awards.
Hey, it looks like Luke Bryan's doing commercials for Cabela's.
I am. I actually looked him up on Twitter today because I thought about apologizing to him directly, you know, just reaching out. And I scrolled down. He tweets less than I do. And I noticed he's got a clothing line through Cabela's.
Yeah, I bet it's fantastic if it would just load. You guys having problems with the internet up here today?
Mm-hmm. I got my new computer. I'm actually happy for a change. I've not been this happy with a computer in probably 8 years.
What did they give you?
I don't know, black box. It's a black box. It
That's
is not
Clear Channel calling. Is this a computer? We like to call it a black box.
Yeah.
Who makes it? BB.
All I know is it has not once told me that a script needs to stop or that Shockwave has crashed. So I'm happy.
All right. We'll give this a shot. See if this is going to stream. It is.
It's in my rehearsals. It's in my dressing room. It's in my favorite stage. It's in my nature.
Well, what is it, Luke?
It's my official vagina.
Artificial
vagina. Take it with me wherever I go.
Is he married?
I don't think so.
No. I'm sure he's dating somebody. Keeps you from cheating on your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she made me get one. She don't know, though, that I modeled it after her mama.
Shh. All right, I'm closing this. I still like your outtake from the Luke Bryan shopping networks.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why that just killed me. And
I was trying to read through them and get them done because it was getting late, and I know you needed time to produce them. But that one, I don't know what.
It wasn't really the fact you lost it. It was how in your mind you had to reset.
I did. I got to reset.
Okay, I'm laughing. All right. Then he starts immediately.
You can experience the joy of peeing directly into Jason Waite's gaping maw. Hi, I'm Luke Bryan.
Oh, hell. Let's play one of those.
All right.
We're going to milk this. Which one do I like the best? I didn't label them. I just called them Luke Bryan Shopping Network. Between that and the PLD Industries, you're going to be shipping out a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mogul.
Let me see what this one is.
Hey, it's me, Luke Bryan, and I'm back with more savings on the Luke Bryan Shopping Network. Join us at noon on Saturday for more big savings on my very own brand of Luke Bryan Hydrofluoric Acid. With Luke Bryan Hydrofluoric Acid, you can dispose of those pesky unwanted bodies who won't hug you. If you're like me, you've got to dispose of as many as 3 or sometimes 4 men a month. That's too much. With my hydrofluoric acid, getting rid of those snooty corpses is as easy as my sweet granny's apple pie. Plus, you can't afford to miss our savings on my very own custom-made Luke Bryan nondescript white van. Transport up to 15 bodies at once. With my nondescript white van, you'll never have to deal with unwanted questions from the police, like, why are there bodies in your truck bed? And and transport up to 15 bodies at once. With my nondescript white van, you'll never have to deal with unwanted questions from the police, like,
why are there bodies in your truck bed? And, hey, aren't you Luke Bryan? It's holiday shopping season, and you don't want to miss out on savings like these from the Luke Bryan Shopping Network. Check local TV listings for details.
And I had pulled his version of Run, Run, Rudolph.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked online. I didn't realize. I knew there were a lot of covers. Dave Edmunds did it. Nobody's going to remember him. It's really big with country artists because it's just that three chord. Because Chuck Berry wrote it.
Okay.
And it starts out like Johnny Be Good.
So it basically jumps over to pretty much all genres.
Yeah, if you listen to it without the lyrics, it sounds like Johnny Be Good.
Okay.
Leonard Skinner has a version. I think it's the newer Skinner.
The alive Skinnards.
Yeah. And I don't want to say Taylor Swift, somebody like that. It's like that's the first one everybody jumps on. Hey, got to put out a Christmas album. Got to start with Run, Run, Rudolph. There's one version I didn't expect. You'd never expect this band to do it.
Okay.
And it's not Gwar. That would be the worst.
Fair point.
Out of all the reindeer, you know you're the master man.
Yeah.
Run, run, Rudolph, Santa coming far behind.
That's right, Lemmy!
Run, run, Rudolph, Santa's gonna make it to town.
That is awesome.
Santa make him hurry, tell him he can take the freeway down. Run, run, Rudolph, we're feeling like a merry-go-round.
Then it just goes into that Chuck Berry boogie riff. Shorter rap, I don't know why. That's a riff that seems to carry through all genres. Everybody can listen to it. Yeah, it's hard to keep bobbing your head.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that Motorhead had a Christmas album.
This is like the version of the North Pole if it was all smoking.
Well, Santa Claus, I gotta keep all the elves hopped up, so I give them Marlboros, and their voices go bad on them. Then when they want to sing, it gets really ugly. Sounds just like Lemmy.
The Marlboro Choir.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're all just huffing down Marlboro Reds, of course. Got to stay with the season.
They all sound like Lemmy and Brian Johnson and Bruce Springsteen, all in one. A couple of them are using voice boxes now.
I bet. Poor Blitzen.
Out of all the reindeer, you know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph, Santa coming far behind. Run, run, Rudolph, Santa's gonna make it to town.
I don't know what it is. He really doesn't have a good voice. He's on key.
Yeah.
But it's really guttural.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's not going to be doing encores at the Met, but he's there. And it's unparalleled.
It's like Brian Johnson from AC/DC is a refined version of Lemmy.
Yes. He's the red wine.
I don't smoke as much. I think Lemmy eats actually tobacco off the ground. Long for what? Long for we need a break.
No.
then let's go. We'll be back.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
First check on traffic over the MyPlates.com traffic center. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Not a whole lot going on. Let's get started off in Fort Worth. Southbound 35W just before I-20 got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic there is backed up back from Rippey Street. Also in Fort Worth, southbound 35W right at Western Center. Road construction there has various lanes shut down right now. That has traffic backed up back from Heritage Trace. And finally in Garland, southbound 635 just before Northwest Highway got an accident there blocking the HOV and the left lane. That one has you backed up back from Skillman. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Tonight, clear skies and windy. An overnight low of 46. Tomorrow is going to be sunny and a high of just 54. Right now, 79. The 97.1 The Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
Yeah, if we can get the Christmas special written and recorded by Thanksgiving. I've got a guy that can animate it. So it can run at the same time on the video stream that the audio's running on the air. What?
I could see a little twinkle in your eye, too. That's pretty damn cool.
I can't remember if we've posted any of his animation. I think we have. I forget the kid's name. He was an intern up here for a while, wanted to get into animation, practiced with some of our audio. I think we put a few on Facebook.
Okay.
I also got turned down for the first time by Chuck Morgan with the Texas Rangers.
What?
I came up over the weekend. I think it was Saturday. Isn't that when I sent the email out to you guys? I went, all right, here's some stuff I worked on in the Christmas special.
Yeah.
I explained to him, all right, doing the Christmas special. Possibly, I said, you may have an issue with this. If you do, that's fine. After the birth of Christ, it would be the Chuck Morgan voice. Your attention, please.
Mm-hmm.
This is Chuck Morgan, voice of the Bethlehem Mangers.
That's good. I now want that jersey, at least the hat.
Congratulating Joseph and Mary on the birth of their child, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our new Messiah, Jesus Christ. He just sent back. He goes, sorrowfully, I may have to pass on this.
It's probably wise on his part. It's also a damn shame, though, because that's a good team name.
We don't know anybody that can do a Chuck Morgan voice. That's this is one of those. That I don't want to get him in trouble.
No. But he really is one of those types that if you do an impression of Chuck Morgan and it sounds anything remotely close to Chuck Morgan, you are Chuck Morgan.
What does that mean?
That means, I think, in order to sound exactly like him, you have to be him. Because what you just said, your attention, please. Obviously, I know you're trying to sound like him, but it just...
You can't.
I can't. I haven't heard anyone that's come close to replicating him.
Last thing I had asked him to cut. Because he's always said yes. The news intro.
Your attention, please, ladies and gentlemen.
Can you just hear that playing in the back right after Jesus is born?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The mangers must be playing. I felt really good about the Bethlehem mangers.
You should. I like that. I just now realized that their nickname would be the BMs.
Your attention, please. Ladies and gentlemen, now the man to whom the news wouldn't be the news without the news, Dan O'Malley.
I was trying to think out how to work in some type of dot race with the stars special.
Damn it. It's a good idea.
Oh, my God.
We don't know any other sports announcers, do we? Nobody as recognizable as Chuck. And Chuck doesn't really, he's not on the Rangers broadcast. He's just the voice out at the ballpark.
Yeah, he's a public address announcer.
Jeff K does stuff with the Cowboys, but.
And the Stars.
Yeah, it's true.
What is Jeff K? One of the production directors?
Yeah, he's one whose studio's right next to us, our studio.
Oh. What does he do for the Cowboys?
He's their, I guess.
He's their in-game host.
Yeah.
It's like during.
Just at the stadium.
At the stadium, yeah.
Not on the Cowboy Network.
No, not on the radio network. And then he does the same stuff for the Dallas Stars. He's the in-game host, doing all the, you know, stuff between action.
Need somebody a little, no offense to Jeff, John, whatever his name is. Need somebody a little more recognizable. We could, nah, he wouldn't do it.
What, Brad Cham?
Yeah, think about it.
He's a Stitch.
I don't think he's somebody I would ask. Can't think of anybody else.
Roger Emmerich, who's the voice of AT&T Stadium. So he'd be the Cowboys equivalent to Chuck Morgan.
I need somebody that's broadcast. He wouldn't do it even if he was alive. Pat Summerall.
Mm-mm. And if you're too afraid to ask Sham, there's no. I really shouldn't even say Eric Nadell's name, but there it is.
Who's Eric Nadell?
The Rangers play-by-play. He'll be in the Hall of Fame at some point.
Just because he's the voice of the...
No, because he's phenomenal at his job.
No.
We're actually very spoiled in DFW as far as our broadcasters, sports broadcasters, you know, with the Stars, with Strangis and Ray. Then you've got Cowboys with Brad Cham, Babe Laufenberg, Eric Nadell and the Rangers, Chuck Cooperstein with the Mavericks, Mark Folliwell also with the Mavericks. Mm. We could try some of the Mavs guys, Mark Folliwell or Chuck Cooperstein.
I don't know. I'm kind of akin to my hankering for Chuck Morgan.
I understand.
I don't know how to tone it down to where he feels comfortable with it. Yeah. I didn't think it was that bad, but I knew he's got a reputation he's got to worry about with the Texas Rangers.
Right.
What if he said Jesus Christ?
I think you're managing to push him farther out to sea.
Yeah.
He's just like a little blip on the horizon now. I think in the wheelhouse of what you're looking for, I might be your best bet, and that's not saying much.
Wait, you can't because you're going to be...
Right.
You're one of the three wise men as Luke Bryan.
Oh, yeah.
Did the stuff I sent out, did any of it look usable?
Yes, very much so. Especially the VCR thing.
Well, we still let out of City Six.
Don't care. What's good is good.
Okay. You got audio? Where do you want to start there?
I do. Well, I have audio from the Cowboys game, or I guess should say from after the Cowboys game. They played yesterday in London, and they beat the Jacksonville Jaguars to move to 7-3. They beat them 31-17. Then after the game,
I saw that Romo played.
He did.
I didn't see the game, but I saw afterwards that he played.
It was statistically, or passer rating statistic, it's his best game of the year, although he did not look like it because he didn't have a lot of zip on some of his passes, but it didn't matter. He was effective, 20 of 27, threw three touchdowns, two of which to Dez Bryant, and it was one of those Romo days where he can look at everyone and say, all right, for all of you people that talk crap about me for years, maybe some of it's warranted, I'll give you that. However, you missed me. Didn't you?
Did you lose? Well,
Let me just ask, because I didn't watch any of the game. Did you guys win while I was gone?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you didn't.
Mm.
All right.
All right, let me take my two broken transverse processes to England and stop this losing streak.
Step aside.
No, okay. It was another good game overall. The running game was good. Passing game was good. Dez Bryant was a beast. He caught one ball, I think it was like a yard behind the line of scrimmage, and then just juked the entire Jaguars defense to take it into the end zone. It was just one of those disgusting displays where you realize, even in the NFL, it looks like at times he's a man among boys. After the game, Jason Garrett, though, talked about the biggest challenge, cut number 13, in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, the big challenge for everybody in the NFL every week is to focus on the task at hand. And regardless of what happened the previous week, you got to do everything you can to be your best and win a game this week. And I thought our team did a good job of that. You just move on. You move on from the last one, whether it was a success or some kind of adversity. And I thought our team did.
Why not just take this 30-second clip and turn it into every day is the first day of the rest of your life. That's what this is. That's what he's saying.
You're right. That's exactly what he's saying.
Task at hand. Mm-hmm. Each day is, it's like with us. Actually, it's not like with us because not every day is a new show. We have running bits.
That is true. But as a team, they have their playbook as well. They can run the same plays week in and week out. They're going to have their staples.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, the big challenge for everybody in the NFL every week is to focus on the task at hand. And regardless of what happened the previous week, you got to do everything you can to be your best and win a game this week. And I thought our team did a good job of that. You just move on. You move on from the last one, whether it was a success or some kind of adversity. And I thought our team did a really, really good job having the right approach, the right mentality, the right mindset coming into this game, reflected in the work that we had over here and our performance today.
All right, I don't do this that often,
mm-hmm.
but.
Man, when you do it right.
It's like every week you want to do it after one of his press conferences, just that slap to the forehead of, really?
Yeah. As monotonous as it is, as dry as it is, he clearly must show some sort of, you know.
You know what he's saying is, okay, our backup quarterback sucks.
Uh-huh.
Romo's back, did better. Can't focus on the past, can't focus on, well, first of all, yeah, you do focus on the past and the mistakes you made, and you couldn't really get around any of those because your main quarterback was out.
Right. But as monotonous as he can be, he somehow managed to reach the team and get players in that fall under what he wants as far as a team, because there was questions about whether or not he was going to make it out of last season. There was questions about whether or not he was going to be the head coach going into this season. But it kind of goes to show, if you stick with it and if Jerry Jones, and he seems to have believed in Jason Garrett's philosophy, it's taken hold, and now they're 7-3.
Well, I think, and again, this is just my analysis, and I have to say that every week, is I think this reinforces the fact they lost when Romo was out.
Mm-hmm.
They won when Romo was back.
Yeah.
This reinforces the fact that this year's team is not a house of cards.
I'd agree with that.
I know that's not a good sports analogy.
No, but it's a good sports opinion. It's a good take because you're right. Previous season, you know, it'd be like if this season were like the last three seasons before it, we would blow out the Saints, which we did do this year. But this year, we would have lost to Jacksonville. We would have found a way to lose other games we've won this year. They would have been losses in previous years.
Okay, what's the next?
Cut 14, Jason Garrett talked about the week in London and being there and having some fun.
I thought it was fantastic. You know, I can't tell you how great a week that we had as a football team. You know, I could go day by day and tell you all the different experiences we had. It was really important for us to focus as a team coming over here and deal with the distractions. But, you know, along the way, we had opportunity to interact with a lot of different people, and everybody was fantastic. So,
there you go. They ain't got no guns over here.
Mm-mm.
I ain't seen one since I've been over here. I can't wait to get home and just look.
It's going to be really odd for Cowboys players.
Welcoming and so accommodating to us. I think the spirit of the NFL is catching fire over here in a real positive way, and I think we benefited a lot from it. So we really had a productive week. People couldn't have been nicer. Our team did a good job going to work. I mean, that was a huge deal for us, a huge point of emphasis.
I like it when people go to work. We get a lot more accomplished. We found in the past, if A lot of the players didn't show up for work or the game.
Uh-huh.
We were not to win.
It was just destined that way, huh?
Hi, I'm Jason Garrett. Hi.
By our entire coaching staff to make sure we come over here and handle the distractions of travel and getting yourself adjusted and just.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have to fly the plane? I don't know how long of a flight it is. Unless I'm flying first class, I ain't going. Do you know, Alfie?
It's 9 hours.
Is that from here or 9 from New York?
9 from DFW, I believe. They left Monday night and arrived Tuesday morning at 10:30. And so they had to stay awake until Tuesday night.
Well, they have to stay awake.
That's the way to beat jet lag.
Yeah, the coaches told him, just force yourself to stay awake.
Mm-hmm. Low razepam. Ambien. And Jim Beam.
And, okay.
Knock I'm almost staying knocked out. But you're going to be groggy when we get there, because you know there's a time change. Well, I'll just set my watch wherever it needs to go, but I'm not setting. No. Sitting in one spot for 9 hours. Although I do that all the time on the weekends on the couch.
Yeah, but that's different. You have the option. Mm-hmm. It's your choice to stay on the couch. And even though you're on the couch, you've got all sorts of leg room, elbow room. You don't have strangers breathing on you, coughing on you. There's no random baby pooping on you, vomiting near you.
No, I just have four dogs that want to sleep all around me. And now Twiggy started snoring.
Oh, no.
I recorded part of it with my phone.
Oh, no.
I've never flown a long distance, so I don't know anything about jet lag. Obviously, it exists.
I've only experienced jet lag once, and that was flying out to the West Coast. And
you're talking about from here?
Yeah, and that didn't even make any sense to me.
No, I flew out to the West Coast a lot. Well, maybe it didn't seem like. What is it about the flight that gives you lag?
It's just your body adjusting to the sunlight, and you have to sort of get your body adjusted to a new sleep cycle.
How far in advance did they get to London before the game?
They arrived Tuesday morning.
All right, so they had a couple of days to get their sync on.
They did. And then,
going to
yep.
I finished 14, I guess.
Work, and we practiced well on Wednesday. We practiced well on Thursday. Practiced well on Friday. And I thought for the most part we did a good job today.
So then on Sunday morning before the game, a report comes out from a guy named Ian Rappaport from NFL Network, and he starts talking about how there were roughly 20 Cowboys players that missed curfew on Friday night, and that this was a huge deal.
Did they have a curfew?
No. What they had was, on Friday night...
A suggestion?
Exactly. They basically said, hey, try to get back by midnight. Well, there was a group of about 20 players that didn't make it. I don't know what time they got back. I don't know if it was just, they were just like, ah, screw it, or they were like 5 minutes late. But either way...
Or they didn't change their watches.
Maybe something like that. I don't know. But it was starting to steamroll. It was starting just to be blown out of proportion. And then people are talking about it before the game. Ooh, is this going to be an issue? The Cowboys are, they're in trouble. Stayed out all night Friday.
I think I would have left that out, saying, yeah, there was a curfew. And none of them came back until practice the next day. And we still beat them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So at one before the game.
So who's the guy? This was an article?
It was an article, it was a report, most likely on Twitter, that Ian Rappaport put out and said that coaches were bothered by it and all this. Well, then Jerry Jones on Sunday morning said, nah, it's all BS. We didn't even have a curfew. So 15 is Jason Garrett talking about, he was asked if there was a curfew problem.
Yeah, we had one bed check this week, and that was last night. It was at 10 o'clock, and we had everybody there. So anything else you've heard, there's a lot of great Winston Churchill quotes. Have you heard a few of these since you've been over here? A lie makes its way halfway around the world before the truth that can get out of bed and put its pants on. So we had one bed check. It was last night, and everybody was fine.
Did he get that right?
Yes, I believe so. He kind of stumbled a little bit, but I think he got it.
Well, the old Winston line, tastes good like a cigarette should.
I don't think he said that one.
So they had one bed check.
They had one curfew bed check.
One night where they, I'm guessing the night before the game.
That was Saturday night, yeah. That's what Jason Garrett's referring to. But this report that they were trying to make a big deal out of was something that happened Friday night, when in actuality it was, hey, let's just everyone try to get home by midnight. Nothing crazy. But it was one of those weird things.
And where how do they do a bed check?
They'll go to each player's rooms, to their hotel room.
Just to
they'll knock
see
on the
if
door.
They answer the door?
Yeah.
Or do they just go in? Because there are ways to beat that. All you got to do is watch 3 or 4 episodes of Hogan's Heroes.
I think they wait for him to answer the door and just be like, are you cool? Are you good? We'll see you later.
Hey, man, I was asleep.
I doubt it.
I got the bowling leg. You woke me up for this?
A bowling leg.
Bowing.
Oh.
That's got to just a bed check. These are grown men making millions of dollars.
Exactly.
And you really have to check on them?
These are not your standard grown men. All the evidence I need to throw at you as far as regular grown men and whether or not they need a bed check, Joseph Randall's booking video from Frisco Police, where he starts talking. He sounds like a child, some of the questions he's asking. He picks up his phone, starts calling someone when he was clearly told by the police, don't do that.
Well, you know how many times they told him.
Well, he's also asking about his mugshot. He's saying, I don't want to take a bad mugshot. And then he asked the officer.
I don't think he said that. He just said, you ain't going to put my weight and height on there?
He did both.
Oh. Yeah, they don't let you take a second one.
Mm-mm.
I asked. I don't know where he got arrested. Where was he in? Frisco?
Yeah.
Was it Frisco?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Stonebriar.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet Frisco would let me take a second one.
There was, I forget what Super Bowl, or I want to say it was the Cincinnati Bengals back in the 80s. They were in a Super Bowl. One of their players, I think, was their starting running back. He was out the night before getting loaded on cocaine after curfew. So, I mean, there's, sometimes these guys need to be reined in a little bit.
I don't think it would have made that much difference if he did coke before or after curfew. You don't really like the way you focused on, hey, he was doing coke after curfew, like he couldn't have done it at 9:30.
Well, I think the problem was that he stayed out all night partying and then was an absolute mess for the game.
Hey, you in there in your room?
Yeah.
You relaxing? Doing cocaine. As long as you're in your room.
Just imagine how you would be at, say, 22 years old. And you're making at least 6 figures, and you're in London. So yeah, I mean, there's some temptation to go out and really have fun.
I'm gonna go pick up some hot Brit chicks with bad teeth. How big is because I didn't see any of the game. How big was the stadium, arena, whatever they played in?
It was massive. It's Wembley Arena. So I 100,000
for tennis, golf, polo, Wembley Stadium. Wembley is tennis.
Mm-hmm. You're thinking of Wimbledon.
Oh, no, I'm confused. What was the name of the place?
Wembley.
Oh, Wembley.
Most popular sport in the world.
Oh, soccer?
Yeah.
I don't get soccer.
I know you don't, but most Americans don't.
How's it? It could be big everywhere, but here.
Because.
But then again, NASCAR is big everywhere in this country. You don't see any NASCAR in England.
No, but you do have Formula One, the Grand Prix racing, the open wheel stuff. It's almost like we have. It's like in America, we have to have our Americanized version of something.
And call it a name that doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, really, how often does a foot touch it?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 5, 6, 7 times a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're talking about a game it is not, the foot is not the integral part of it.
Was that it from Jason?
That was it from Jason, but overall, they were very pleased. So that now they go into a bye week.
Which means they don't play this weekend?
They have this week entirely off.
Well, what are we going to do next Monday?
We can pull some other teams post game stuff.
Is there anybody as bad as Jason?
Yeah, remember Bill Belichick? He's the head coach of the Patriots. After they lost, they would ask him, "So, coach, what
we lost?
So, but what about with what happened in the third quarter?
It was bad.
How can you run the ball better?
We just got to run the ball better."
And then his follow up press conference that next week. This is like a month or so ago. I think it was on Monday or Tuesday, they said, so going back to this last game, it's like, we're only talking about this coming game. Well, what about yesterday when we're focusing on Cincinnati this week? Yeah, but what about Cincinnati only questions?
Well, you said you're going to learn how to run the ball better. How are you going to do that?
We already know how. We just have to execute better. Next question.
But what?
Shut up. We're focusing on this week.
Okay, this
I'm
week.
I'm gone.
We'll be the Russ Martin Show. Afternoons.
We'll be 97.1. We'll be back. 404. This is KEGO, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle Traffic brought to you by Hyundai Blue Link. Let's get started off in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, right at Weston Center. That earlier road construction there has been cleared out. Traffic is still jacked up back from Heritage Trace. A big one in Garland. Southbound 635 between Garland Road and Northwest Highway, there's an accident blocking the HOV and the left lane there. Traffic is backed up all the way back from around the High 5, about a half-hour delay through that. And finally, in Garland, northbound 635, right at Garland Road, that same accident has the HOV lane blocked there. That one has traffic backed up back from Northwest Highway. If you see an accident out there, call the Allstate Traffic Tip Line. The phone number is 214-866-8888. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Three Forks Steakhouse. Tonight, clear and 46. Also going to be quite windy. Then tomorrow, sunny and a high of just 54. Right now, 79 and 97.1 the Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 the Eagle.
Care. Why do you always ask me what weird crap I watched over the weekend?
Because that's what you do now. You watch,
I watch other things.
Yeah, but you may watch other things, but there's always going to be at least one thing that stands out, whether it's the high wire guys between the World Trade Towers documentary.
Right.
The documentary about
dolphins.
And also the documentary about the honey badgers.
And you finally watched that.
I did. I watched that last week. That was good.
I wonder how that happens, how they figure out a badass. Big grown lion? What do I care? I'm going to chase it around the wild.
Yeah.
King of the beast? Mm-hmm. My new name, Honey Badger, King of the beast. You ain't nothing but a lion pussy.
And I think they probably they discovered the animal or really started studying it after they would see what it would do in the wild, and that would scare off hyenas and lions.
How did the honey badger figure out that they could do all that?
I hate to be trite with it, but I just think that it just didn't care.
But they're not just ferocious and running retard wild like those feral hogs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're really smart. I told you about they were in a fenced enclosure, chain link fence. And they figured out two of the honey badgers how to get up the fence, open up the slide lock. And there were two of them.
Yeah.
And I'd forgotten this. They had actually wrapped the guy that had the badgers, wrapped wire around the slide lock so it couldn't just accidentally be slid open. Honey badger climbs up, undoes the wire, opens one, goes up, undoes the wire, opens the next one, goes back down.
And away they go.
And then the owner's running around screaming, "Hey, catch them!" Well, you knew they were going to get out. And why are you keeping a couple anyway? I never understood that in the documentary.
I'm trying to remember. I think...
I don't know if it was a rescue, and yeah. I wouldn't trust a rescue honey badger.
The one that always kept getting out, I think it was like Stossel or Stoffel, whatever it was, the male, I think he got him when he was really young. So they figured, let's keep him. Maybe he won't be as crazy as a wild one.
See if we can domesticate one.
As much as you can.
His may be a little smarter than most honey badgers.
Maybe. But it's absolutely, it would terrorize that man's farm.
Not just tearing things up, but you couldn't really put them in anything.
I liked how it would. They showed
Chloe,
it.
I was close. Just handing me a note. I was just about to say that.
What is it?
I got up this morning. My bugler saber was gone. That little bastard hotwired my little saber. And probably drove off for some cigarettes. And you know he's going to come back drunk.
Yeah.
And the cops ain't going to pick him up.
Oh, hell no. Mm-mm. Not a chance.
Just get pulled over and get waved off.
Yeah, no, keep on going. Have a nice day, Mr. Badger. And the sad thing is you didn't embellish on anything that you said when you told us about it. Because when I went and watched it, everything happened exactly like you said it did. One thing I did love, very early on, it showed how this honey badger would get into this guy's house. He would not sneak in through an open window. The badger would open the window.
Slide window. Like, say, back of the house where the kitchen would normally be in most smaller houses.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm sure that badger's been through that house a lot.
Yes.
Because they were ready to tape him everywhere he went. And the camera was moving, so they weren't just cameras they set up.
Right.
Then he goes, he knew how to open the fridge. And that's not easy.
No, I mean, he got on his back and then reached his claws up underneath the ridge of the fridge and then bloop, pops it open. And then he just, kind of like we would do in the middle of the night, you open the fridge, you're like, what do I want?
It looks good.
And then he pulled out the veggie basket, climbed up on top of that to get to the bacon that was like midway up the fridge.
And this wasn't just like a half pound bacon, you know, in the little wrap, whatever.
This is country
like
bacon.
This was like a brick of bacon, and he ate it all.
And he's just on his back, just loving life. And you know there's no way in hell you're going to get that from him. Oh, come on now. Let's put it down.
Stuffle. You put it down.
It's not like my dog where if he picks up a shoe, I can tell him to drop it and he drops it. No. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't know how many things he threw a couple of things out. It's like he'd smell it. Nah. Mm-mm. I'm going for the bacon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the low carb diet.
The honey badger's gone paleo. So what did you watch this weekend?
Well, this one certainly is going to pale by comparison to the honey badger.
Well, everything does.
None of these, I know how they get started, so just leave me alone. I started watching the making of the original RoboCop in 87 on YouTube.
Great movie.
And what's his name? Paul Verhoeven?
Yeah. Yeah, the director, writer.
Yeah. Nobody wanted to make that movie. And once they got started, nobody wanted to keep making that movie. Nobody got along with each other. They had problems designing the outfit. Peter Weller worked with a mime artist, but it was more than that. He worked at the like Juilliard, so it was dance, mime, whatever, to help him get down the walk. And the day the suit shows up, it was like 10 months behind because they went through design. So they need to shoot the first day the suit gets there. It's got an inner body suit, almost like a, what do divers wear?
Just like a scuba suit. Yeah. A wetsuit.
It took him 3 hours to get into that.
Oh.
And then another 7 hours to get into the body armor.
Oh my God.
Then he got up and he couldn't move. And Weller was pissed. He said, everything I've worked on for 6 or 7 months with this trainer is wasted because we can't do that. He goes, I can't move. And they said, well, let's shoot some test shots. He goes, okay, you just want me to stand here.
It's going to be a really bad action movie.
Move. And then I'm shortening this a lot. Then they made adjustments to the suit. They cut out the elbows and part of the knees and something on the feet. And Weller still having a hard time with it because he's still trying to do the things that the mime artist showed him. He wanted to be more fluid. I don't know why Peter Weller kept referring to it. He said kind of snakish. I don't know what that means, but a little more fluid.
No.
Finally, the mime guy's watching him because he stayed a couple of weeks into the filming. He said, you know what? If it's heavy, just let it be heavy. Don't fight it. Use it.
The movie's called RoboCop. It's okay if you're a little slow. We're going to understand if you're not a sprinter.
He said, and when you move your head, do like bird-like
movements where everything's quick. Like, I know that's lost on the radio, but you get the point.
I think it was, yeah.
So finally, Weller, you know, years later said, actually, it worked out best. Because, you know, the mind says, sometimes lead with your head and then turn your torso. Sometimes turn your torso, lead with the head, or vice versa.
Gotcha.
So he would walk out of room and go, and then twist the torso.
I know exactly what you're saying, yeah. And you're right. See, those are stories I love because that's one of those, whether it's RoboCop or like in Jaws, they couldn't get the shark to work. It changed the movie, and it changed the movie for the better. Because had that shark worked from day one in Jaws, the movie would not have been the hit that it was.
No, I think it was supposed to be in the opening scene where that chick gets pulled underwater.
Yeah.
What else? Since they picked Dallas for the main shooting location.
Oh, yeah.
For RoboCop.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that suit is hot.
Yeah. Oh,
man. And Weller's got to walk around in that. So between takes, they got somebody with a fan on him and tubes shoved down into his body armor.
Just trying to air him out?
Blowing in cold air.
Oh, my God.
And one of the other actors said that every day he lost at least 10 pounds of water.
I believe it.
So what's that? I went back and watched the RoboCop that I've got on Blu-ray, and that's the director's cut.
Okay.
Which RoboCop was originally rated X.
I remember that.
And it was like 11 or 12 re-edits before the MPAA said, okay, you can have an R.
And it wasn't because of, like, it was, you know, showing penetration sex stuff. It was just because it was that grotesque and violent. The nudity stuff, I think the MPAA was okay with.
I don't think there were any cans.
Yeah, in the shower scene.
Okay. No, they didn't have an issue with that. You can show that and still be
right.
R. That's all I can remember. And then I found that they, like 1990, they made a RoboCop TV series. I don't know who carried it. It was produced or shot in Canada. I never saw it.
I don't even remember that.
And I don't know how much money they gave Weller to come back for RoboCop 2, because after RoboCop 1,
mm-hmm.
everybody was unhappy. They were happy that it made money.
Oh, sure.
But nobody liked the movie-making experience. And actually, I like RoboCop 2. I think I like it better.
I sometimes have a hard time. I'll get 2 and 3 crossed up.
3 went overboard. That was the one Weller wasn't in.
Was 3 the one? Was that the nuke stuff in the neck? Or was that?
No, that was 2.
That is 2. Okay. In that case, maybe I hadn't seen 3. Whatever.
There's one scene in RoboCop 3 where a different guy's playing RoboCop. He's chasing perps. I don't know why. He's in like this pimped out Cadillac where the door's falling off. It's on fire. It's got flashing lights over the, you know, dingleberries, whatever. That's about the only scene that makes it worthwhile.
Okay.
RoboCop 2, I'd forgotten about this. He actually chases down a van or something on a Harley.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Might not have been a Harley, but it looked like a fat boy.
Yeah. And I also remember from that first one, showing that new body style of Taurus, the Ford Taurus, and thinking, man.
Futuristic.
Wow. To me, that looked like a concept car straight out of an auto show.
That's why they picked it. It was an 86 Taurus.
You think about it now, it's just like, oh, my God.
And they're kind of stuck with that image.
Yeah.
I think in almost all the RoboCop movies, they use the 86 Taurus. I'm sure Ford was thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
Because they used a version, one of the Fords that they changed a little bit for the 6000 SUX commercial car. Bigger is better. And Verhoeven went back and added a lot of those goofy commercials.
Mm-hmm.
To hopefully lighten the movie and take the MPAA's focus off all these things falling off people. That's all I got.
Okay. There was actually, did you ever see the movie Starship Troopers?
No.
Same director, same writer, Paul Verhoeven. There's a lot of similarities between the two movies. There's like the group shower thing that's in there as well, and then also the sort of the goofy commercials that happen in Starship Troopers. So they're very similar if you ever get curious and bored.
Yeah.
And it's funny, once I get started on something like that, I don't stop. Well, I wonder if there's any more making of. Something else I don't know. They said the design of the RoboCop outfit was sort of based on the day the Earth stood still.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not going to know that. And the chick, Alfie will know this, in Metropolis.
Yes, the robot.
Yeah. If you look at her and the 87 RoboCop, they're not exact, but you can see similarities.
Okay. Yeah, the Metropolis chick, I don't know, but yeah, Day the Earth Stood Still, I know that one. Or even the the robot thing from Thor.
I didn't see it.
Never mind.
Just make a list of things you want me to see.
Dude,
you think I'll enjoy it?
I've been telling you for like 3 years now to watch Black Dynamite.
I always get stuck on Blackula.
I know. That's what I should have gotten you for your birthday. I should have gotten you a Black Dynamite on DVD. Because I don't think it's on Netflix.
I've seen it someplace. I'll watch it.
Me and Chloe still want you to watch Fear of a Black Hat, too.
That would be Chloe and I.
Okay, Chloe and I.
Now, see, I missed what you were saying.
Fear of a Black Hat.
Why would I fear a black hat?
That's the name of the movie.
What kind of hat?
A black one.
A fedora?
Any hat.
Top hat.
Any hat you want.
Cowboy hat?
Yeah.
There are many hats in that movie.
How scary is the hat?
It's about the fear of the black hat. There's a musical group called NWH.
I know that. Do they have hats?
They have hats.
Are they in the movie?
They're in the movie. It's about them.
Oh, is it like a biopic?
Exactly.
And they all wear hats?
They all wear hats.
Different hats.
Lots of hats.
Do they do things to people?
They do things to people.
Ooh, do they?
Well, I guess they got to earn that A. All right.
Since you were talking about watching things, can I give you some good news?
Sure.
According to Variety magazine, Starz, the cable channel, has ordered a follow-up series to the cult Evil Dead film franchise titled Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Bruce Campbell going to be in it?
Yes.
Now I'm excited.
Exactly. Yeah. The new show will re-team director Sam Raimi with longtime producing partner Rob Tappert and star Bruce Campbell, who will reprise his iconic role as Ash, the stock boy, aging Lothario and chainsaw-handed monster hunter who has spent the last 30 years avoiding responsibility, maturity, and the terrors of the evil dead.
Where's this going to air?
Starz Network.
I didn't even know that was still around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were doing they mentioned here in the story, Starz first worked with Sam and Rob on Spartacus, which was an original series that they had on Starz. And they said, we are thrilled to be back in business with them. That's according to the managing director of Starz. With Sam writing and directing and Bruce Campbell returning to the screen, we are certain the show will give Evil Dead fans around the world the fix they've been craving. Campbell said, I'm really excited to bring the series to the Evil Dead fans worldwide. It's going to be everything they've been clamoring for. Serious, deadite, ass-kicking, and plenty of outrageous humor.
It makes sense. I don't know how much longer this zombie fad's going to last. Although Evil Dead wasn't really zombie-ish. Or was it?
It's got some aspects to that, yeah.
I think I got skewed because I watched, out of all of them, you guys said Evil Dead. Watch Evil Dead first.
Mm-hmm.
Or two.
Mm-hmm.
I start with Army of Darkness.
Which is fine.
Well, I thought, okay, all the other ones are comedies too.
No.
Yeah, then you watch the first one thinking, okay, love Bruce. Great comedic actor. Oh, this is some f***ed up shit.
where are the punchlines?
What about it when he's got two heads? Does he not get two heads in this one? Well, we'll have to call and congratulate. I wonder, this is going to be a lot harder. I don't know if he's ever done a television series where he was the lead. Because in Burn Notice, he wasn't in every scene.
He has done a series where he was the lead. It was, Alfie, what was it called? Jack of All Trades?
That's it.
Jack of All Trades. It was a syndicated TV show where he played sort of like a swashbuckling hero type. And all the people
like with the mustache and a sword?
Yeah.
Really?
May not have had the mustache, but it was one of those where it would like it aired on, I think, WB or Channel 21 here. And then a lot of the guys that you saw in Army of Darkness were also in the Jack of All Trades series.
Okay. Well, maybe he'll come back on now.
As well as Adventures at Briscoe County Jr.
I've heard that. I haven't seen it.
I think it was on in 89, and that was it.
Okay. We got a couple of minutes. You at least want to get the birthdays?
Sure.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
You want your Chuck Morgan thing?
Yeah.
Long or short?
Eh, it's too short.
Okay. I must find it. I can't find it. Got to take the long one.
All right.
Your attention, please. Ladies and gentlemen, now the man to whom the news wouldn't be the news without the news, Dan O'Malley.
Thank you, Chuck. Today is Monday, November 10th, 2014. Birthdays today. Country star Miranda Lambert turns 31. Porn star Sammy Rhodes is 31 as well. She starred in almost 300 films, including So You Think You Can F and Catwoman Goes Naked. Another porn star.
She's a blonde and needs a boob job.
Oh, really?
They're not bad, but she sure likes to eat cat. A lot of it.
Well, then I guess Catwoman Goes Naked would be up her alley. kill me. Another porn star, Nina Mercedes. You know her?
I do not.
She is 35. She's only starred in 83 films, including So I Married a Porn Star. Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy is 45. Tracy Morgan turns 46, still recovering from being hit by a truck. Comedian Sinbad, 58. And Russell Johnson, the professor, would have been 90 today. A teacher at Duncanville High School will likely be fired for her comments online, suggesting white people should just kill themselves.
Okay, I missed that. I heard the story on KRLD, but obviously, they seem to be concerned about reading text.
Yeah.
So I don't know what was really in the body of it.
Vanita Hedgewood admitted to posting, "Who the F made you dumb duck-ass crackers think I give a squat F about your opinions on my opinions regarding Ferguson? Kill yourselves." That was on her personal Twitter account Friday afternoon. The tweet and account were deleted shortly afterwards. The Duncanville School District said today that Hedgewood will be suspended without pay until the school board can vote on her termination. According to their statement, they said, as an individual, Ms. Vanita Hedgewood expressed an opinion on social media that is solely her own. She used her personal media account to make remarks that are offensive.
Twitter account have her name?
Yes. While everyone has the right to free speech, as a teacher in the district, we believe the comments that are alleged to be made by her are absolutely reprehensible, and we do not condone it. She's been with the district for 2 years.
So this was, I don't get it, why you set up these accounts and you use your name if you plan on getting on a soapbox and saying things that you know, especially if you're working for somebody that's anal.
Mm-hmm.
Where you know it's going to get you, you know it's going to get you popped. Why? How do you justify that?
The problem is some people still think that whatever they post can't be touched by their employer.
Google this. Can I be fired for what I post on Twitter? And then read all the results and all the ramifications of the people have done it. Oh, and immediately the accounts pulled down. It's too late.
Yeah.
Like robbing a bank. I don't have the money.
Yeah.
Erase.
Or here, take the money back. I'm sorry. My bad. No, it doesn't work that way. You still did it. And if you need any proof of it, look on any comment section with this story underneath it. You are going to find people that will say, I can't believe they're taking away her rights. This is ridiculous. This is insane. Is this not a free country anymore? Crap like that.
We have to go back and cover that?
Yes.
You're not going to get arrested. She didn't go to jail. She won't go to jail. She just got fired. Everybody has a right to their opinion, and the school district's opinion is you don't need to work here.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's different in states or if you're part of a union. I don't know if it's harder to pop somebody.
I think it is, but.
But in this state, they can pop you just if you come in one day and the gait is different on your walk.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have butt sex this weekend? All right, we'll be back.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
All right. 437, another check on traffic over at MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Alfie Coy is in the Eagle's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Supercuts. Let's get started off in Dallas. Southbound 75. Right at Woodall Rogers got an accident there blocking the exit. That has traffic backed up back from Knox Henderson. In Garland, southbound 635 between Garland Road and Northwest Highway got an accident there blocking the HOV and the left lane. Traffic's jacked up all the way back from the High 5. This one also affecting northbound lanes right at Garland Road. The HOV lane there is blocked. Right on your back, it's back from Northwest Highway. Into Carrollton now, southbound I-35 right at Crosby Road. Got a stalled vehicle there being cleared out right now. That one has traffic backed up back from the bush. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Clear skies and windy tonight, a low of 46. Tomorrow, sunny, and the winds continue as we hit a high of just 54. Right now, 78. At 97.1, the Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show.
You ready?
Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
You know, it's funny, I only got the email from one person that Macaulay Culkin had died.
Oh, really?
I'm on the commode, check the email. Hope you had, Billy, guy used to help us out with the band. Hope you had Macaulay Culkin worth 66 points. So I pull up, go online. First result, his death is a hoax. Well, Billy, I sent it back. I went, it's a hoax. Well, I got it off the MSNBC website. I looked online. There's a fake MSNBC website that's called like website.msnbc.com or something like that. I went, is this the one? All right, I'm a f-tard. I emailed him today. Anybody else fake die? Why did I know this was going to continue to go on?
What about today?
And before I even checked it, I sent out the email. Want Macaulay Culkin? Now. Need. Then after I realized he wasn't dead, after the pictures I've seen of him, I still want him on my Deadpool list.
He is an extremely emaciated individual.
He looks like ass.
Yeah. He's 34. But he's been touring with his band, the Pizza Underground.
He's not eating it.
No. It's a band that performs pizza-themed parodies of songs by the Velvet Underground. He even spoofs.
So they only take Velvet Underground songs and rework those?
Yeah.
Is he making any money off this?
I don't know that it's very much. My guess is that he's still living off his Home Alone cash.
I think he should pray for a Home Alone sequel where he's the dad now and forgets his kids in a meth lab or something.
That would work.
I'm not saying he's on drugs. He just looks really, really thin.
It's freakishly thin.
He looks like he's in his 40s.
Mm-hmm. He could even be one of the robbers. He finally realizes, man, I need some money.
First of all, I never really liked those. It was too, I guess it did well. It was Christmas. It was,
it was kids movies.
For kids.
That was one of my favorite movies growing up. I loved Home Alone.
It was just all too predictable.
Well, yeah.
If you already know what's coming, the whole idea with comedy is to catch them off guard.
But again, it was focused towards kids.
Oh, look, there's a glowing red doorknob. I will grab it.
Mm-hmm. And
there's certainly no reason why it would be glowing red.
I'm sorry, but to me that's still funny. Because I immediately go back to being like a 10-year-old when that movie came out. I start laughing all over again. The nail going into Daniel Stern's foot, and by all, I mean all movie screams ever, the greatest one, Daniel Stern, when that spider gets placed on his face. Whew.
Say spider or spike?
Spider.
Where'd the nail come from?
was when he was walking up the basement stairs and he stepped on a nail.
And then the spider was later.
Yeah.
What kind of spider?
It was big, 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 big hairy butt tarantula.
Like a real one?
Oh, yeah.
It was, where did he get it?
It was his pet tarantula that he kept in the house. It had escaped. Then.
Oh, how fortuitous. Hey, somebody broke into the house. Well, I'll just turn loose the guard tarantula.
And it worked.
But yeah, I know we don't keep track of the Deadpool, but I really want him.
You can have him.
He may be healthy. Maybe he's on some type of Karen Carpenter diet, but he looks bad.
He was with Mila Kunis for like 6-8 years. Isn't that right, Alfie?
Yeah, they were together.
Doing what?
Relationship. Romantic, yeah.
No.
Yes.
I think that was right when she turned 18.
Mm-hmm.
Alfie, pump your mic up a little bit.
How's that?
Nope.
How about now?
Yes, that's perfect.
Excellent.
Does it look too high in there?
It does look too high.
Well, bring it back down. I'll fix it in here.
Got it.
Try it now.
1, 2, 3, 4. Macaulay Culkin's been banging Mila Kunis since she was 18, and just recently they broke up. I think maybe a couple years ago when she got back with Ashton.
Kutcher?
Yep.
Oh. They married now?
They are. They have a kid, I think.
Mm-hmm. They just had a baby. Aw.
Well, I'm very excited for all of them.
Mostly for Macaulay.
Yeah, I didn't see any follow-up stories. Like Macaulay goes, no, I'm not dead. We're performing tonight at, you know, Pizza Hut, Parker, wherever, yeah. Wherever he performs.
On CBSNews.com, they said, two things learned over the weekend. Macaulay Culkin is not dead, and he's got a sense of humor about the rumors of his own demise. The former Home Alone star became the latest victim of an internet death hoax, but shut down the speculation by taking to his band's Instagram page to prove he was indeed alive and well. By saying,
I hope he didn't use a picture.
He did, because it's Instagram. And then the caption said, we're on tour, you silly people. Then that was followed by two more photos spoofing the 89 film Weekend at Bernie's, having his friends kind of carry him around. There were just a couple other photos of them holding him up on stage, and everything else is fine, I guess.
I wonder how many hoaxes this fake MSNBC page has.
I don't know if all the death hoaxes start on that page. Or if someone just puts it out and then whoever runs that page says, ooh, I'll run with that as well. I don't know.
Let's see. Website.
But yeah, I mean, Macaulay Culkin is not the first one that's had to deal with the death hoax stuff. There have been plenty of others.
Well, of course, now it doesn't come up. Surprised NBC hasn't done anything about it. Yeah, I can't find it now. All right, let me try Culkin. I'm just curious, what else is...
to see if there's any other stories on the page, or...
I'm just curious, what other MSNBC.website, that's what it's called.
Okay.
Let me see if... because I just pulled it up on my phone, so I couldn't see everything. But I was able to figure it out in like 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. Billy's running around going, oh, Macaulay Culkin's dead. No more Home Alone.
Those ended a long time ago.
Our internet is nothing today. I don't understand how a corporation, you think we would, couldn't we just buy AT&T or an ISP?
That's a good idea.
Because there are days where our internet is just useless.
Mm-hmm.
You get better speeds off of a modem. Yeah, nothing. It looks like they're on Twitter, Facebook, so I guess there could be a lot of people following this fake MS, this website.
I think a lot of them get started by 4chan, the website that dicks with people a lot.
I've heard of that. F-O-U-R?
Just the number 4.
Four and then Chan.
Yep. They faked Jackie Chan's death at one point. What'll happen is a lot of them will get on Twitter and then just start hashtagging you know, rest in peace, Macaulay Culkin. And then that'll start trending and other idiots will kind of follow along with it.
Well, you can't sue us. We never said he was dead. We just wanted to sleep good.
Absolutely. That's how they do it.
I can't even get to the home page on this.
On the fake MSNBC site?
Yeah, screw it. I'm done with it.
All right.
Okay. All right, do you want to mention the birthday you forgot earlier?
I do. Many apologies, but today is the 239th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. I think almost every year, even this morning I said, ooh, I need to put that in birthdays, and then I forget. So, my apologies to you Marines. Happy birthday.
Well, I pulled the Marine Corps theme for traffic,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't listen to all of it, and it's got vocals in it, and that's going to be kind of distracting.
Well, distracting, yeah, but it is.
Maybe I can find Gomer Pyle singing it.
From the halls of Montezuma.
That's pretty close.
Tripoli. Something rhymes with golly.
I bet that was a proper tribute.
Yeah, and I'm sure the Marines wouldn't be really happy with me if I just pulled a theme from Gomer Pyle. Although it is, it's not a bad theme. It's kind of inspiring.
So yeah.
It has a Marine feel to it.
Yeah, it's just that, I mean, all the branches of military are, you know, tough, arduous, everything. Just something that you just think about Marines is something, you know, Gomer doesn't quite fit.
But he always got it right in the end.
He did.
No matter how many times he pissed off Sergeant Carter.
Hi, Sarge.
Yeah, nothing's coming up. I don't even get the little spinny circle thing.
Really?
Yeah, I just get it like a finger. You looking for internet here? Nope.
Here's all you're going to get.
Join them for a minute.
I know this is...
Obviously, I have two things running at once.
What are you watching, soaps?
I have now given up on me and this show. Finish news.
All right. Julia Brecht is an 86-year-old great-grandmother in Aurora, Colorado. And late last month, she was shopping in the produce section at Target when a man stalked her, grabbed her purse, and took off. But two police officers showed up to help were Craig Hess and Robert Little.
What city was this?
Aurora, Colorado.
Okay.
First, they helped her cancel her credit cards so the thief couldn't use them.
She was how old?
86.
Okay.
Then, they grabbed her shopping list and did the rest of her shopping for her. They also paid for her groceries themselves out of their own pocket. And since her keys were in her purse, they drove her home, got her spare key, went back to Target for her car, then installed new locks on the front door of her house where she lives with her blind and disabled husband. According to Julia, the two officers went far beyond what anyone would expect to make sure she's safe. As far as the purse snatcher goes...
They went far beyond what the Red Cross would have done.
Yeah.
Red Cross could have shown up and went, you want some orange juice?
And maybe a blanket.
Yeah. We will draw blood later. No offense to the Red Cross, but... Yeah, obviously this is not their job. Maybe things aren't busy in Aurora, Colorado. You know cops aren't busting people for weed anymore there.
That is true.
But, you know, the biggest reason they did it?
Hmm.
Cops suck. Cops are Nazis. Cops are always violating my constitutional rights.
That's true. It's a damn shame. Imagine how many civil rights they must have violated by buying out a lady's groceries.
I'm sure, you know, somebody else would have went, well, they stole a shopping list.
Yeah.
They were goosed up and down the aisles.
That's private property. You didn't have a right to, you didn't have a warrant to take that shopping list. And I'm going to guess they didn't know until they got her home to get her spare keys that her husband was disabled and blind.
That I do not know.
Blind. I haven't checked his website over the weekend. Is that Jason Waite? Guys, do you know Alfie? Is he still bagging on me?
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't gotten any emails from anybody, so normally when something changes, one of our listeners is always watching everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And something in that whole story of him with the back and forth with the Louisville police officers, He starts out his story as he's explaining it. You know, I was just walking down the street, minding my own business, just enjoying, you know, the day, getting some aerobic activity. Not a care in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Never stops to think, why are you able to do all of that? Because we have police officers that keeps people from coming up and grabbing you, or people won't do it because they know the cops will come and get them. But you don't think of any of that. You're enjoying your day at your own leisure, totally forgetting the fact that it's police presence that provides you with that. And then they try and do their job and enforce the law and do an investigation, and you want to be a dick about it. Keep posting stuff about me. Something's coming for you in the mail. New address. I don't care whose lease, whose name is on the lease. It's still coming to you.
Oh, this is so pathetic. All right, so after he posted the apology to Steve Eager, but still said he's coming after you, Russ.
Yeah.
Last week I had said that he's one of those guys that he'll post something on Facebook and then he'll like his own post. Mm-hmm. He'll comment on his own post, which is already pathetic. However, on his website, headline, Russ, the only thing you can fall in love with is a donkey. Then there's a photo of a smiling donkey, which is always comical.
That's fair.
But he took a comment you had on Facebook. I assume it was on Steve Eager's post on Facebook.
Said I fell in love with Steve Eager.
Exactly. Three comments underneath it. Jason Waite comments, Russ, the only thing you can fall in love with is a donkey. And then it links to his donkey story on his website, which is just a post about him posting a comment about you falling in love with a donkey.
Okay.
And then a donkey sex YouTube video.
It's, you know, he speaks and he writes like a, I maybe bump it up a little bit, but like a third grader.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you like donkeys.
Maybe right. I do. That's fair enough. Are the comments still up about me misappropriating funds from the foundation?
Let me see. That was the FU to the Russ Martin fan base. Or is that the part of, I think that was part of Russ Martin and Fox 4, you were warned. Let me see.
I don't know. He's got so many posts on his website, and it's a squirrely website to begin with.
I know.
It's not the design. It's just got a lot of ads, pop-ups, weird crap, and money-making schemes.
I know. And it's really annoying how he's got, like, I understand a pop-up ad here and there on a website.
Hurry up. We're going to break.
His is his own damn pop-up ad. Nope. Stuff's up there about you still. Also rumored you're a serial
It's. My stuff is up there about me misappropriating funds?
Yes.
Okay.
Also rumored that you're a serial criminal and alcoholic and that you're allegedly using your nonprofit to shelter your criminal behaviors with legal bribes.
Hmm. Legal bribes. Hmm. But does he still call me an alleged alcoholic?
It is also rumored that you're a serial criminal and alcoholic and that you're allegedly using your nonprofit to shelter your criminal behaviors with legal bribes.
Okay. I think originally he called me alleged alcoholic. I wanted the alleged gone.
It could still be, it's still kind of in there that he's saying it's rumored.
No, it's not rumored.
I know.
How dare you? Okay. At just the end of that clip where he's running after the cops and screaming at the police cars and traffic. He really gets maniacal. I'd like to have a real psychologist listen to the entire, not that we don't have one, but Dr. Thornton's a little iffy on things. Listen to it and go, okay, if I had to evaluate this person,
mm-hmm.
Say, all right, hey, friend of his, thinking about locking him up. What would you think? Here's audio of him after he'd been detained by police while they were doing an investigation, found out it wasn't him. And then they let him go. In the cut. Oh, don't tell me I deleted those. Louisville 1, Louisville 2, 3. Maybe this one.
Connection. Here's your ID, right. Mate. The people that Joe survived.
The hell else?
One of the
can we talk about then?
All right, somebody hit me with a pop-up ad while I was looking for crap. Okay, that's dead. That's off. That's off. Nothing else running on my computer.
The voice memo.
What is that? Okay. I about had it with this computer. Somebody's about to get shot.
Let's not shoot it.
Why? Who else is there to blame?
Well, we could just unplug her for a bit.
And Alexis, assault and battery, and that the baby is fine, okay.
I don't even know where that audio's coming from. I got no browsers open, nothing playing.
That is weird. They said Lex Economos, so it's Channel 8 something.
Parents out there,
listen to your intuition and your pets. Even if
what is that?
Listen to your pet's intuition? What are you watching during breaks?
I'm not watching. I got nothing open right now on this computer. Somebody's talking about your pet's intuition.
My dog is very smart. I can always tell when he has to take a grunt.
Really?
Yeah, because he pisses all over the floor first.
All right, I'm going to just have to reboot this. We got a break anyway. We'll be back.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
506. This is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Rules of Engagement on TXA 21. Traffic sucks real bad right now. Only one real accident worth talking about, though. And it's in Carrollton, westbound on the bush, right at I-35. Got an accident there blocking the center lane. That one has traffic backed up back from Josie. Other than that, traffic sucks out there, but there's no real accidents. Listen to Cindy Skull tomorrow morning at 7:25 for a shot to win a pair of tickets to go see the Black Keys this Sunday. The American Airlines Center details are at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Tonight, clear skies, windy, with an overnight low of 46. Then tomorrow, sunny and windy still, with a high of just 54. Right now, 78 and 97.1, the Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1, the Eagle.
Sorry, Luke, that ain't your version. That's Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Man, it's all right.
But they weren't voted. Well,
they were not voted CMA Entertainer of the Year like I was.
And didn't have the opportunity to
hug. I just wanted to hug them.
Was Garth the only one he hugged?
That night, from what I could tell. I actually did watch the CMAs on Friday night because Tara had recorded them.
Every time they show Luke Bryan.
Hi, it's me. I'm Luke Bryan. Hi.
You really tried to tweet him directly?
I thought to apologize?
I
thought about it. And then I got caught up looking at what his tweets were. I was just reading through, and then I was just realize I don't think he does it very often. Like, he actually posted something early this morning saying something about a sunrise somewhere.
Oh. Chewing gum mystifies me.
It does, man.
You got to say it with a voice.
Well, chewing gum, it's mystical. It's confusing but delicious. And it never goes away. It's always there. Like my uncle.
And also like my uncle, you're not supposed to swallow.
Yeah, because Mama said he'd stay in my tummy for 7 years.
Grow watermelons.
Mm-hmm.
Never let Uncle Theodore shoot in your mouth. They keep flashing up breaking news. Chief Halstead resign, or is he retiring?
From what I've seen,
Fort Worth PD,
he's expected to announce his that he's going to step down on Tuesday at a meeting of the city council.
Didn't say any reason.
I'm not seeing one yet. This is just from a source. Jeff Halstead, who's been the chief of police in Fort Worth since 2008, plans to step down on Tuesday, according to a source. He's expected to announce the decision at a meeting of the city council. The council gave Halstead a vote of confidence in September following an outside report that found instances of harassment and hostility within the department. The report said some of those incidents were racially motivated. Halstead issued an apology on YouTube after that, saying our citizens know that our police department is the best in the nation. That's according to actually Mayor Betsy Price. That's what she said in September. And council continues to support the chief and his staff.
Then it doesn't sound like a retirement.
I would.
Because, you know, retirement comes at a certain point. Next February is going to be my 20 whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is just stepping down now.
Right. Yeah, this could be one of those things. As a chief, you know, he may have other career ambitions. I don't know if he wants to run for some sort of political office. I don't know if he maybe just wants to take it easy and go be a small town sheriff or something. I don't know. Sometimes I think what I've noticed is in large cities, you don't see someone stay the chief of police or commissioner for an extended period of time. Like the longest tenured I can think of is that Sheriff Arpaio in Arizona. But even then, he's got to be elected to keep his job. But here with Chief Halstead, Chief Kunkel with Dallas, Chief Brown in Dallas, they don't seem to keep the job for years on years on years. They do it for a while, then they decide, all right, I'm going to go out and do something else. Or just flat out retire.
I'm trying to think of a chief that's kept their, not kept their job, but stayed at the job. No, you're right. A lot of turnovers in Dallas. I can't even think who was chief before David Kunkel.
I can't either. But see, I think that's sort of what – I think it kind of comes with the territory with a large city because it's such a big job. You're the chief of all of thousands of officers, and that's your responsibility. After a while, I imagine that stress is like, okay, I'm good. I'm going to let someone else do it for a while.
Okay. You want to get to the, you know, I listen to the audio. It's not really that fantastic. That chick, she's not wigging out. It looks like some type of maybe Christian seminar where she's sitting there telling people about monster drinks.
Yeah. Yeah. She thinks Monster is a creation of Satan. Is the Monster energy drink logo a message from Satan? There's a video of a woman making the case that blew up online over the weekend. And you've got the audio there. It's Monster energy drinks are the work of Satan.
Does it say in the story where Monster is made?
No, it does not.
Monster energy. I'm afraid to pull anything else up. I'm going to have a problem. Energy drink made by Monster Beverage Corporation. It comes in black cans. 34 North America. I don't see it. If you find it, go ahead. I'll play the audio.
Okay.
Look at your M closely. There's a gap right here.
Okay, she starts with the M.
Gotcha.
Which to me is just almost like a monster had scraped its claw across the can. And one thing she says is important because the claw marks, they don't touch each other. Okay? Are you looking at a picture of Monster?
Yeah.
You see how each strike, they don't touch each other?
Yes.
That means something in numerology.
Okay.
She never brings that up, but it is important for her argument.
Look at your M closely. There's a gap right here in the letter M. It's never connected. So you go into Hebrew.
Because in numerology, if they were all connected, then it would be the symbol for 18. Think of Roman numerals.
Okay.
They don't have to touch, but what she's referring to, I think, in the Hebrew numbers, if they touch, then it's 18. It's not 666.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
No? Chloe, do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-mm.
If the numbers touch, then you add them together. If they don't, they're considered read individually.
Okay.
So the you get it?
Yeah.
Alfie, you with me?
Yeah, I got you.
You don't know what I'm saying, do you?
Not a clue.
Thank you.
Look at your M closely. There's a gap right here in the letter M. It's never connected. So you go into Hebrew. The letter Vav is also the number 6. Short top, long tail. Short top, long tail. You could have here in Hebrew 666 on the can.
You could also have a monster scrape.
It just looks really cool.
And they do look like the numbers she's referring to, but they're not all the same length, and it's not an exact representation. But then again, hey, we're talking about Satan, who obviously is a head.
Mm-hmm.
But my interest is the word monster. What do you see in the O? There's a cross. What has Christ got to do with an energy drink, let alone the name monster?
Well, they ain't got no robe or flip-flops or anything else. Beard. Not really a cross. It's just a line kind of going across the O. That could be some antiquated font.
Yeah.
Has Christ got to do with an energy drink, let alone the name Monster? So I thought, well, maybe this is a Christian company then. BFC at the bottom of the can. Do you know what that stands for? That's the...
Alfie, I don't have any monsters left in my fridge, do I?
I don't think so.
Okay. Just wanted to look at a can. Are you looking at a picture, Dan? I never noticed the BFC on a monster can.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia stuff on
it. All right.
BFC at the bottom of the can. Do you know what that stands for? That's the F word. Big can. In fact, they write it on the side of the can, so I know that's the F word.
Has anybody ever noticed that on the side of a monster can where it just says big and can?
No.
Could stand for Brothers for Christ?
Hey.
Yeah.
Certainly could.
Now, do you know what a MILF is?
Yes.
That's on the box. MILFs, dig it, and you will too. This is not a Christian company at all. Here is the message. Antichrist. 666 in Hebrew. And then the Bible talks about the beast in Revelation. You see these M's everywhere. Hats, t-shirts, bumper stickers. Is there another agenda here? If God can use people and product, so can Satan. And look at it this way. Even if the...
Well, if that's that big of a deal, why doesn't God just pull a clear channel and buy up all the satanic companies?
That would make sense. You have like a holy price war kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Man, you want to talk about a hostile takeover.
Woo, man.
T-shirts, bumper stickers. Is there another agenda here? If God can use people and product, so can Satan. And look at it this way. Even if the M was not the issue, you cannot deny that that is a cross. And what is witchcraft? When the cross goes upside down.
But the cross isn't upside down.
No.
Even if you want to consider it a cross. I don't know why the line goes across the O. And if Monster, whoever they're distributed by. Do I want to take any of these, Alfie?
It's people calling in saying the BFC is only one specific size. It's like the giant size monster.
And is that what it stands for?
Yeah, exactly.
Big F and can?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Makes sense.
Yes, Jeffrey.
Hey. Yes.
Alfie, what did Jeffrey want?
Jeffrey was saying that, yes, there is a BFC on the big effing can size monster, and it's made in Corona, California.
Okay. So this chick thinks that Satan lives in Corona.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot deny that that is a cross. And what is witchcraft? When the cross goes upside down.
Oh, I got it. When you drink the can, the cross is upside down.
Bottoms up.
Bottoms up.
This is how clever Satan is and how he gets into the Christian home and a Christian's life. Jesus said, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Yeah, there are a lot of stupid people that die because they're idiots.
Yeah, but it's a theory that she has, and I give her credit for trying to come up with one. But without any sort of evidence of having a Christian household turning satanic simply due to the introduction of Monster Energy drink, sorry, you're out.
Well, the whole thing about the beast and the 666, and there's still theologians that think, all right, maybe it's 616.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go with the 666. It's a gradual takeover, and it will come at you in a form that you're really not going to expect. I'm paraphrasing the Bible, but I think it would come to you as something unsuspecting.
Sure.
What better than an energy drink that says on the side, unleash the beast? But is your faith that flimsy to where a energy drink is going to turn you against God?
She's not taking the chance. She's going to keep that Monster energy drink out of her house.
Line three?
Yep.
Yes, Kyle.
Hey, I work for a company, and we actually make those cans. And none of that stuff is what she's saying is even close to true.
How do you know? You could just be one of those idiotic followers. You like a sheep.
Yeah, well, you know, that's how it goes.
Where do you make the cans?
I'm sorry?
Where do you work?
Oh, I work over in Fort Worth for a company called Ball Corporation.
And they're the ones that make the cans for Monster?
Yes, sir.
And then they're shipped to Corona?
Yes, sir. We make the can, we ship it to a filler, and they fill it.
Hmm.
Some of the legends about the Monster guys is they're a couple of hipsters, and they came up with this formula, and they sent it out. And they had somebody make it. Then they had somebody design the can. And so they don't actually create anything. It's a pretty amazing story.
Maybe this chick. All right, thanks. It doesn't really matter. The chick thinks some, whether it's the makers or the distributor, the guy driving the truck, somebody has turned this into some type of satanic message to get the word out. Look, you have all these Monster products. It's not just the drink anymore.
Yeah.
It's jackets and gloves and tennis shoes.
And you know what? Maybe they cut off part of the video where she's trying to justify her theory in addition to just the Monster thing, is saying maybe that Red Bull is supposed to be, you know, the God's choice because Red Bull gives you wings.
Hey, I use that one. They never made any reference to Jesus. I'm the one that said Jesus Christ gives you wings.
That is true. You did. You absolutely did. But to her, that's going to be how her brain is going to work. She sees Monster. It's the evil scrapes with 666 and the beast. Meanwhile, Red Bull, oh, it gives you wings. Let's not even talk about all the other
And Monsters brands have always been bigger cans than Red Bull anyway. So Maybe that was the way for them to set themselves apart. Oh, look, it's a Monster can. Hey, let's call it Monster. We'll go from there. Everybody liked the Monsters, so What's a big deal? And something else she left out because does she refer to Revelations in that?
I don't recall.
She refers to something.
Look at your M closely. You will too. This is not a Christian company at all. Here is the message. Antichrist. 666 in Hebrew. And then the Bible talks about the beast in Revelation. You see the...
Okay.
There you go.
I looked that up because obviously I wouldn't know. Revelations 13:8. Reads, here is the wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. And his number is 666, which means it's 666, not 666. So if Monster was really trying to get a message across, they would call it 666.
Mm-hmm.
And I also saw... The number of the beast is described in the passage of Revelation 13, 15 through 8. The actual number is only mentioned once, in verse 8, 18. In the Greek manuscripts, the book of Revelation is titled The Apocalypse of John, where the number is rendered in Greek. Well, those numbers don't look anything like Monsters logo. I'll show you. You can probably see that. See those numbers? Those Greek numbers?
Yeah.
Does look anything like Monsters logo?
Not even close.
Okay. So you had to go and pull from the Hebrew, and the I think it's called the Vav.
Okay.
The number.
Sure.
So that looks like monster. The Greek doesn't. And I'm going to guess the Greeks were the original. They originally transcribed this, and then John looked at it, and maybe he thought, well, that looks like an X and an S with an apostrophe over it. So it's either in French or Spanish, or it's possessive. And I don't, first, you can't tell in the video where she really is. I'm just guessing it's some type of religious seminar.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she's pushing something else, if she had her own energy drink. Hey, this, you know, this monster company, they're of Satan. You want ours.
That might actually be a good way to go. You sort of Christian seminar and you want to, you know, sell, you know, how does Jesus wake up in the morning? He drinks Jesus juice or whatever.
I mean, obviously Monster doesn't even have a lawsuit here. They can just look at it and go, yeah, I keep telling people that.
Yeah, that's actually helping them.
Because, really, I want to be like a demon when I get out of bed. I'll calm down later. It's not a Christian company. There are a lot of companies that aren't Christian. I mean, if Monster really wanted to, we'd just go, hey, Mark of the Beast energy drink. 666. I got no good slogans. Satan set you on fire.
Start the day like a beast.
There are a lot of different ways to go at it. You think people are smart enough to figure all these things out? I mean, look at you. Good for you. You're smarter than the rest of us. You look at something that most people look at and go, I don't care. It's cheaper than Red Bull.
Yeah.
A bigger can. I don't know if I get more stuff out of it, but it's a bigger can. It's cheaper. I'm buying it.
I just see it's like she's stretching this thing farther out than I do by trying to say Top Gun is racist, not gay.
If something's going to get me up in the morning, I don't care if it says Satan's taint sweat. I'm drinking it.
Yeah. It's a sad thing is I would buy that. I'd be like, man, that's going to get me up. That's kind of like the difference between getting up in the morning.
You know how hot it's got to be in hell?
Oof.
If it makes Satan sweat. Man, that's Africa hot. We'll be back.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
5:35, another check on traffic over the MyPlates.com traffic center. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Walgreens. Let's get started off in Fort Worth, southbound East Loop 820. On the service road right at Wilburger Street, got an accident there that has traffic kind of backed up in the area. In Forest Hill, eastbound I-20 right at Wichita Street, got an accident there. It's blocking the two right lanes. This one involving an 18-wheeler. Right now, traffic is backed up back to 35W. And finally, in Carrollton, westbound on the bush right at I-35, got an accident there. It's blocking the left lane. That one has you backed up back from Kelly Trinity Mills. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Walgreens knows that cold and flu symptoms can really slow you down, so they make it easy to get cold and flu relief fast with solutions like Mucinex Fast Max. Use as directed. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Eagle weather brought to you by Hyundai Blue Link. Tonight, clear skies and windy, a low of 46, then tomorrow sunny and a high of just 54. Right now, 76 degrees at 97.1 The Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
What you got, Alfie?
Hey, everyone's calling about the Monster Energy thing.
All right. Where do you want me to go?
I'd start off with line 5.
Yes, Justin.
Hi, my name is Justin. I know that.
What did he want?
Oh.
What?
He was right there.
My name is Justin.
Oh, he said it. But then he said, well, obviously you already know that. And then he was going to say his whole thing.
I don't want his whole thing now. Oh. What did Justin...
What did Justin want?
Justin was saying that the inverted cross is actually a holy Christian symbol, that it's the symbol of St. Peter.
Okay. Well, they don't sell it inverted. This chick is talking about when it's bottoms up, then the cross is upside down. Well, let's say you're drinking from a chalice.
Okay.
With a cross on it.
Mm-hmm.
Bottoms up, it's upside down.
Which, they have those. I've seen them. Where the chalice has the cross, then it's bottoms up. Yeah, it's upside down. To me, that's a stupid theory. Because if your thinking is the way it's meant to be viewed is when it's turned upside down, then they would just switch them. But then if they switch them, some idiot at a seminar somewhere would say, oh my God, it's an upside down cross on a cup.
But it's a good cross when you're drinking it. Oh, somebody's going after Red Bull as well?
Yep.
All right. Yes, Christy.
Okay, I was just calling in about, you're talking about Red Bull and stuff. That could be broken down into a non-Christian thing too, just like the Monster can is. Red Bull gives you rings. A bull was considered to be an idol. You know, when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments, red is typically a color for Satan. So basically they could break it down saying Satan is going to give you wings if you believe him. Any symbol can be broken down to fit anybody's view. That's just something that's been done by almost every religion since the dawn of man. If you really want to find something, you can.
To me, it just shows that you're weak in your faith. Well, I got to worry about this. If I drink this, say I eat a red devil potted ham or whatever they call that.
Mm-hmm. Anything can be broken down to anything. I mean, my brother goes to church and he brings a monster can every Sunday when he goes to church. So he's bringing Satan into the house of the Lord. I really think, you know, if there is a being of God, he probably is not really worrying about what kind of energy drink we're drinking down here.
It's
probably one of the less things he's worried about. But yeah, you can make a symbol out of anything. Like that sandwich shop, witch. Okay, so you're promoting witchcraft with your sandwiches?
Yeah, you could take any wholesome name and make it sound either satanic or racist, like that fine company Cracker Barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then a little shop of sins before you even get to the restaurant.
I'm somehow religion. First of all, how come none of the cool stuff happens now that happened in the Bible? You know, the burning bush and the parting of the Red Sea and maybe some amendments to the Ten Commandments. Moses comes back down. Hey, got one more.
Hey, for the last couple thousand years, you know, we worked on a couple new ones.
God thought about this one.
Thou shalt.
Thank God it's only one. Because those two others, those were motherfuckers to carry.
But you're right, like some updated.
No, I couldn't have written it down on something like papyrus. Mm. Had to be in stone.
Papyrus.
Isn't that right? That's a type of paper.
Papyrus.
Oh, I like papyrus because it sounds like me.
I'm with you. That sounds much better. Hey, say, you got any papyrus over there?
Standing right here. It's just religion has gotten so skewed to where you have to, okay, I get the part, always be aware of evil.
Mm-hmm.
Got that. Just like you should always be aware of people around you that might jump you, rob you, take your money. Well, but Satan's a lot more devious than just normal criminals. He'll come at you with products that you would let in your home, and it's just like vampires. Once you say you can come in, you're in.
Oh.
If you tell a vampire you can't come in, they can't come in. I'm pretty sure that's a rule. It's either vampires or Jehovah's Witnesses.
I think it's both. They might be the same thing.
No, because they come out during the day.
There are some vampires that have that ability.
Really? Which ones?
Blade.
The Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yes. And Blade.
Is that our Robert on one?
That's our Robert.
Okay. Yes, Robert.
Hey, boss.
Yep.
You know, for decades and decades, AC/DC and KISS and Procter & Gamble have been fighting this whole deal about them being satanic and anti-Christian and all that other stuff. It's just a matter, like that lady was saying, about how you deal with the symbols and how you want to read that crap.
AC/DC is just talking about electrical currents.
Yeah, but when I was a kid in church, the parents were saying that it meant Antichrist devil children.
I would think that focus more on bisexual. Which way you lean? AC/DC.
Either way, but see, you were able to get something out of it that is supposedly devious.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of how you want to read it. The KISS has been going through it with, I think they said it was Kings and Satan Service, or Kings and Serving Satan, something like that, for decades now.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, Knights and Satan Service as well.
You want to focus on that, but you don't want to go after the Ku Klux Klan where you know what the letters stand for. And it's all about hate. You want to go after something where you have to extrapolate information and pass it off as, hey, I figured this one out. This is code. How about the Klan? That ain't code.
That's too easy. That's too easy. See, the problem is with someone who is a religious fanatic, they have to be able to show other people why they are superior to everybody else. And in order to do that, they take a random object like monster and tell all the stupid people of the world how they're being tricked by Satan.
But the monster is scary. Satan is scary.
Really? He is?
Yeah, Satan?
What does Satan look like?
He's that big red thing that I seen on that South Park movie.
Really?
Where he was having sex with Saddam.
And and what part of the Bible did you read that?
Where he's big and red?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. I saw it in the South Park movie.
Exactly. Don't you remember the part where they said
Satan seemed like a big crybaby in that movie.
Yeah, he kind of was. He was kind of codependent.
And Saddam had a big dong.
Mm-hmm. Gotta be if you're going to get with the king of the underworld.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, it's people, they have their own idea of what something is. Like most people really didn't have much of an idea of what hell looked like until Dante put it in his work, The Inferno. And then you had the same thing with Satan. People were like, ooh, what does Satan look like? Oh, he's a big scary beast thing with, you know, seven heads and all this. Like, you forget the part where they said Satan is actually Lucifer, who is one of God's fallen angels. So really, he's going to look like us or the other angels.
And why wouldn't, yeah, why wouldn't he look like an angel? It's like, you know, Satan used to work for God.
Mm-hmm. But really, at this
he
point,
he just didn't get a reference when he left.
Yeah. Of all the different depictions of Satan that I've seen in popular culture, to me, the most closely accurate is probably Al Pacino.
From Scarface?
Mm-hmm. He played Satan in, Alfie, what was the movie?
Devil's Advocate.
Advocate. Yeah.
Oh. What was the Inferno movie?
That was a book that Dante wrote about the different levels of hell.
The guy from Who's the Boss?
No.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's not a turtle.
Oh.
Dante, you're thinking of Donatello.
Oh.
Who am I thinking of?
Danny Pintaro?
Almost.
That was the kid from Who's in the Boss.
Who starred in it?
I guess you're just going with Alfie, what's his name?
Tony Danza?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Danza.
He wrote a book about infernos?
No, he did not. It is not Danza's Inferno.
Yeah.
In other words, people
have
their own
there are
idea.
No physical descriptions of Satan in the Bible.
There might be, but I don't. Everything I've always recalled is that, okay, he's angel, fell down, whatever. He's bad, yes.
Yeah, well, at least Aerosmith did a song about him. Now I'm iconic. And have my own potted meat.
There might be some description of Satan in there somewhere, but for the most part, it's usually popular culture.
I think most of the depictions of Satan come from Mephistopheles, which is just a German demon.
Yeah, I don't have any funny for that.
The story of Faust.
Yes.
Who's Faust?
The guy that Mephistopheles tricks into selling him his soul. This is far too much.
Isn't that what you catch from being in coal mines?
Yes!
I'm suing. I worked in a coal mine. I got Mephistopheles. Oh, my.
Did you or someone you know suffer from Mephistopheles?
Did you work at a coal mine all your life?
Mephistopheles? I got that! I've had that for years.
I bet I got it when I was working out a parking lot at Rip Griffin's truck stop.
Mm-hmm.
They told me to use condoms.
Mephistopheles run rampant out there.
Sometimes it goes into remission. All right. What else we have?
Oh, dear Lord.
We need to work this. How do you say it?
Mephistopheles?
Yeah. Work that into the Christmas special someplace.
Oh, no.
And Luke Bryan could go, I had that.
I had that. I had that once when I was I was a junior in high school. I had the Mephistopheles. It burned for days.
Luckily, they had invented penicillin.
Yeah, they had to shoot it right in my butt. But I said, why are you putting it there? It's all over my crotch. Didn't you shoot there? No, all right, whatever. I'm just Luke Bryan. What do I know? I'm not a doctor.
I'm just dripping out the front of my penis.
I know. Man, drip, drip, drip. Yeah. It was really awkward when I held up that CMA award for Entertainer of the Year because I was dripping during the whole speech. I was really proud of myself for getting through it.
Because you got the what?
The Mephistopheles. That's the other reason I wanted to hug Garth was not just because he's great and I never met him and I wanted to hug him, but also because I needed to wipe up a bit. And he was wearing dark jeans.
You want me to hit the sounder again?
Nah, I'm good. Right. A new survey found the top 18 biggest mistakes you can make on a first date. Probably 19. One of them would be your Luke Bryan impression. But here they are. If you want to try and guess some of these.
I'm sorry, what was the title?
A new survey found the top 18 biggest mistakes you can make on a first date.
Answering or talking on your cell phone.
That would be yes. Where is that? Yeah, 14, being on your phone.
Texting.
I think that just goes with 14, being on your phone.
All right, then I will not guess any other phone things. Masturbating underneath the table.
That did not make this lit. When have you done that on a first date?
Masturbating on top of the table?
Yeah, neither one of those did it.
Talking about yourself too much.
Yes.
More specific?
No, talking about yourself too much is good. That's number 8, only talking about yourself.
I go to the gym 9 times a day.
I guess that would just sort of be bragging, but that they don't mention that one.
Bagging on your ex?
Yes, number 9, talking about your ex.
Being rude to the wait staff?
That's number 17.
Picking some place that's stupid like Alfie always does?
Number 12, picking a bad location.
Hey, let's go to Plano during prom night.
I didn't know that it was going to be packed with high schoolers.
You couldn't have checked. Didn't you have to make reservations wherever you went?
No, it was just a casual kind of place.
Yeah. For the first date.
Yeah, no pressure.
For somebody you really liked.
Yeah, but just no
pressure. You'd known for a while.
Yeah.
See, first date, if I've kind of known them for a while, and now it looks like we're finally hooking up,
mm-hmm.
I'll go ahead. I got no problem going to some place like Three Forks.
Ooh, someplace nice.
I like Three Forks. I haven't been there in a while. If it's like Kenzie, this chick, she wants me to, I don't want to say her name. Chick that Kenzie wants to hook me up with. Oh, you like her? You guys will get along great. I pulled her up on Facebook. I went, what do you think of me?
Agreed.
What do you think I would want to go out with that?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Forget about what I look like. I'm a celebrity. Automatically, I get to date two or three steps outside of my range.
Otherwise, what's the point?
Did you ever see the picture?
I don't think so.
I think Chloe knows who I'm talking about. No names. I think Chloe knows who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And even you said this person is really nice.
Yes. And I don't think that picture was a good picture.
I looked at a few different pictures on that Facebook page, and that's an ugly Facebook.
Okay. I think she's really cute.
Why don't you bang her?
Not interested.
Why not?
I'm just not.
Why not?
So she's not good enough for you, but perfect for Russ.
Well, no. She's good enough. I don't know.
How old is she?
She's, I think, late 30s.
Is that the reason?
No.
She's old?
No. Uh-uh.
Late 30s isn't old.
Yes, it is.
All right. For you, for a woman, it is fine.
Maybe mid-30s.
Well, you don't like her for a reason, so why do you think I want your scraps?
Because I know someone that she's dated before, and I don't do that.
Oh, he's dirty?
No, he's not dirty. No.
So you're willing to let Russ catch it?
Well, Russ isn't going to get... I don't know if he's going to catch anything or not. I don't know. I just don't like to date girls in which I have known
Do I know the person that she's dated?
No.
Anybody famous?
No.
What's wrong with him to where you didn't want to follow it up? Just that it's a friend?
Yes, exactly.
All right, so it's not somebody that oogs you out.
No.
Okay. I forget where we were, but I'm not getting set up. If it's somebody that, especially I've been waiting for a while, realize, they had feelings for me, I had feelings for them, but we never communicated that. We're going to go to someplace nice.
Yeah,
so I'm not picking some stupid place in Plano where all the prom kids hang out. let's go out to the Regal Beagle. This will be fun.
It's still on Greenville.
Is there a Regal Beagle?
There is. The bar on Greenville Avenue.
Yep.
Are you asking me?
Greenville and Lovers. And it is not a place you take a first date unless the chick is into dive bars.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going for Three's Company.
No, that's fine.
Okay. How many I got left?
A
lot?
Yeah.
Bad things on the first date.
You've got 6 out of 18.
Dressing poorly?
Actually, surprisingly, no.
Bad breath.
They don't mention bad breath.
Drinking too much.
But I'm giving you that for 15. It's eating garlic. What was one you just said after bad breath?
Drinking too much.
Yes. Getting too drunk is 13.
Okay. Hang on, I got the last two. Acting like you're not interested. Not eye contact.
No.
Pissing in their queso.
It should have been on there, but no.
Making long-term plans?
Yes, number 11, such as marriage and kids.
Hey, if dinner goes well, how about we go home and make babies? Do you like the babies? We do not have to keep them because I have a 2-star house.
No, stop that.
Give me hints on any of the others.
18 can be awkward at the end of dinner.
Giving her a plate job?
Less awkward.
Ordering bad dessert?
No.
In the dinner. Trying to divvy up the check?
Yes, arguing over the bill.
Arguing over the bill with her or the wait staff?
With her. You already guessed being rude to the server or the wait staff. Because like some
how does that come up?
Some women may be insistent on paying their share so as not to lead you on, or that way you're not expecting something afterwards.
They want to. This isn't accurate, but it's a true vibe that guys get. If you feel like you need to pay for it, we think you didn't have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it really makes sense the other way. Hey, I had a good time. I would like to pay for part of this dinner. Since after this date, I know I will never do this again.
I know. There always seems to be so many different scenarios in which, okay, you would pay it, or you would let her pay at least her a portion, or you find some way to decide, okay, you know what? I tell you what. How about this? We'll compromise. I'll pay for dinner. Had a great time. And let's go somewhere and have a drink. You can buy my drink.
Well, I didn't really want to hang out with you anymore because I didn't have a good time.
Well, in that case, I'll pay for dinner. You vomit up your share, and you can wash it off in the back. How about that? That sound better? Let's do that. I'm about to tweet this. Let's figure out some more stuff.
I don't feel so bad about jerking off underneath the table. All right, let's see if we can finish these up. How many
okay,
are left?
I got it. One, like six or seven. Okay. If you're distracted at the table, not paying attention to your date, it could be because as someone walks by.
Oh, eyeballing somebody else?
Yeah. That was 16. Number 10.
Yeah, that was number 16. That not was, eyeballing yes. somebody with 16.
No. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Good.
This one, I don't know how to give you a hint. Inviting friends to meet up.
Yeah, because that looks like you're looking for a way out.
Yeah. Number 7, running out of things to talk about.
Okay, bad date already. You know, if conversation flows, that's a – first of all, if you're already attracted to them, that's good.
Yep.
If conversation flows, that's another good start. If conversation flows, the rest of those probably will be eliminated because if you guys are already kind of the same mindset, then she's probably not rude to waitstaff. You're probably not
mm-hmm.
because you guys seem to be on the same mental page.
That's right. Number 6, this would be bad in general, but especially bad if you had bad breath.
Oh. Kissing?
No.
A queef? Because I just assumed all this was guy stuff. I never thought about the chick just kind of hiking one cheek up and doing a...
Yeah, we need to add some to this list.
Pardon me. Did you just do a one-cheek pink sneak?
Pink sneak?
Yeah.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
606. This is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over the MyPlace.com Traffic Center. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles' Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by ReverseLitter.com. Hold on, going on. Let's get started off in Dallas. Westbound I-20 right at Polk Street. Got an accident there. It's blocking the right lane. Traffic's backed up. Excuse me, back I-35. Also in Dallas, eastbound I-30 right at Ferguson. Got a stalled vehicle blocking the right shoulder. Traffic there is backed up all the way back from the Mixmaster. It's moving to Carrollton. Westbound on the Bush right at I-35. Got an accident there. It's now in the clearing stages. Traffic's backed up back from Kelly Trinity Mills. In Forest Hill, eastbound I-20 at Wichita Street. Still got that accident there. It's still blocking the right lane. Traffic's... not even in the report. Traffic is backed up back from 35W. Finally, in Fort Worth, southbound 35W. Right at Western Center, got an accident there. That one has traffic backed up back from Heritage Trace. Caller number 9 wins a pair of Winner Before You Can Buy Them tickets to go see Nickelback at the JEXA Energy Pavilion on April 4th. Call now. It's 214 or 817-787-1971. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Walgreens. Tonight, windy with clear skies, a low of 46, then tomorrow, sunny, and it stays windy as we hit a high of just 54. Right now, 73, but 97.1, the Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show, afternoons on 97.1, the Eagle.
Got this email. Not really entertaining, but I appreciated it. This was sent last Friday. So tonight, let's see what time they sent it. 10:44. So I'm going to guess it happened the same night. Tonight, I stood in front of my brother's shop, a business he's put his heart and soul into, bring from the ground up. As smoke out of it. I'd never been more grateful in my entire life for police officers and firefighters at night. I'd always been very pro-police and pro-fire. But tonight, it was just one of those moments. They put out the situation before anything got worse. I truly don't understand how people can be hateful towards police. They were one of the first on scene. A huge, huge, huge thanks to the Ellis County Fire Department, who showed up on scene. And a big thank you to the Palmer Police for being there during this potentially disastrous moment. Just the thought of these guys needed to be recognized, or just thought these guys needed to be recognized and thanked for their hard work and for spending their Friday night tending to our emergency. Too many times, things like this go unnoticed. Keep supporting them, Bob. Well, thanks be the foundation. Sincerely, Jordan. P.S. Flashing lights can be a wonderful thing.
Oh, God.
And in a situation like that, your place is on fire. You see those flashing lights? Those look like thunderbolts from heaven.
Absolutely.
And all of a sudden, you can hear the cavalry trumpets, the Rocky theme, and the Batman theme all at the same time. It's like, dude, you just met God's posse. Praise God.
Mm-hmm. Unlike yesterday when I went to Walmart in the afternoon and an ambulance needed to come, and no one wanted to get out of the way. No one wanted to. No, it's like, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll follow the ambulance so I can get to where I'm going faster. Or in the Walmart parking lot, pedestrians got the right of way. You wait, paramedic.
Dude, I'm in an ambulance. I got no problem mowing you down. I'm here anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's going to be another call.
Mm-hmm. That's just being efficient. I'm sorry. Ambulance got your leg?
It's too bad you can't deputize. They're not going to have time to stop and do it, but deputize firefighters so they can actually get out and write tickets for obstruction of an emergency vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Or just, you know, if they don't get out of the way and they're kind of in the area while you get out doing your business, you tell them, hey, you don't leave. I got something for you when I come back.
Oh, boy, I'm excited.
The firemen always give away good stuff.
I know. Okay, give me like a sucker or something.
He followed me home and busted up my furniture.
Man, that was cold.
Stay right here. I'll be right back.
I just bought that credenza.
You're right. It's like rules of the road. The last driving test I took was when I was 16. You do the math. I still know slow and to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Just think of not necessarily the reverse of the Kennedy thing, back
right.
And to the left.
Yes.
With emergency vehicles, slow and to the right. Not just, kind of let them pass or wave them on.
Mm-hmm.
Slow and to the right. That way the emergency vehicle knows, hey, the left lane is going to be clear. I don't have to figure out which way to dodge. It's bad enough I'm going to an emergency, and they expect me there in a timely fashion. And you're right, people. Hey, I'll just get on behind. Maybe they'll think I'm with them.
You can't do that.
You can.
I think you got to stay a certain distance behind them. You can't just follow them through all of the traffic and red lights and stuff.
I just looked up at Channel 11. They're doing a story on Mark Cuban. Any clue why?
Oh, he got. He was on jury duty today.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I think he actually said he was picked for whatever trial it was.
Well, he's a logical guy. I wouldn't mind him being on the jury.
I'd want him on
the Everett, and I even think Judge Coors said it. They wouldn't want me on a jury because they were afraid I would take control of the rest of the jury.
I could see
I could see Cuban doing that.
Oh, certainly. I mean, if you're...
Hey, I'm sorry. The other 11 people in the room, who's a billionaire? Yeah? Well, then I should be the foreman. tell me you can't see Cuban, they'd automatically vote him the foreman.
Of course they would. If for no other reason, be like, hey, if we make you foreman, can we get courtside seats?
Can we can we try and sell you on this deal, this new type of holeless Swiss cheese we're selling?
So cheese.
I watched, first time I've ever watched it, I watched a clip of Shark Tank over the weekend. I don't know how old the clip was. It was a couple of doctors trying to sell the panel on some type of networking service through the internet with doctors. I didn't get the whole thing, but both doctors, they're relatively young. They both looked scared, unprepared, and when let's see, what was the question Mark asked? How are you going to convince me as a doctor I need to be in your network? Well, we have several different contacts. How are you going to convince me? Went over and over, and he never got an answer. He goes, I'm a doctor. I'm thinking about being part of your network. Why should I? Well, what we will do, because I'm going to ask you again. I'm like, you're not going to get no money from him.
No.
And then somebody else, I have no idea who the other people are, asked, okay, how am I going to make money off this? Well, and at that point, I knew they weren't getting any money.
Right.
And then there was some, I think it was a candy maker that everybody liked their idea, and I didn't realize on Shark Tank, now you can have a couple of the guys on the panel go against the other ones. Hey, I'm Mark Cuban. Me and this dog chick next to me, we like the idea, so we'll give you this percentage. And then the other two, they can buy back and forth. I never knew that was part of the process.
Yeah. Yeah, they can negotiate. Like, if you show up with the business, you can negotiate with
if everybody
the
likes it, you can. I didn't realize the panel were considered the sharks. Mm-hmm.
And even as if you're the business, you know, entrepreneur, you can decline whatever they're – if they offer you something, they could be like, here's $100,000 and 5% of your company. Nah, that's really too much. I don't want to give you that much of a percentage. You can turn them down, and then obviously
– Who's you?
You're the entrepreneur.
The person pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's like just because you're there doesn't mean you have to accept any term thrown at you. You still have power to be like, nah, that's more than I want to do.
Yeah, like when they get cocky too. They're like, nah, I don't want that.
Like I would immediately think – again, I haven't seen enough. I would think in a pissing match, Cuban would always win.
No, but see, the other guys in the show are extremely successful as well. I don't know all
I don't know if they have more money. I just, Cuban's more in the media.
Mm-hmm.
He has just a stand-up charisma about him of, I'm going to do the right thing. I think if it was a bad call, I'm bagging on the referees or the officials.
Yeah.
I don't care what it's going to cost me. In fact, I'll go ahead and I'll match the fine and give it to charity. Whoever these, I think it was candy. It looked like some type of dipped chocolates. I didn't see the whole clip. And it was, are there five people on the panel?
Four, I believe, typically.
It varies.
Okay, this time I think it was five.
Okay.
So the other three are going, hey, we can market your product. We know how to do this. This guy to my left has this quality, and I can do this, blah, blah, blah. Mark Cuban said, hey, if I like your product, I don't have to go and convince somebody to sell it. I own AAC. If I want them to sell it, I tell them to sell it. I own movie theaters. If I want them to sell it, I tell them to sell it.
Yeah.
Guess who won that one? I was so proud, like, I'm going to get anything out of it. Mm-hmm. I just went, all right.
That's one of those, yeah, where the product matched with the proper shark. Like, okay, this makes sense. You got chocolate stuff? Here, this man's got movie theaters.
Yeah, they're, you know, you got three of the sharks throwing out potential. We could do this. We could do this. Where Mark said, I will do this, and I will do this.
I'd do it tomorrow.
It's like, I don't know how many these other sharks, how many theaters they own. I just know what I own, and I got AAC. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but a lot of people come through that. And if I tell them to sell this candy, they sell them this candy. I'm Mark Cuban. All right, my haircut still sucks, but I can take care of this. Have you watched it enough? Is it worth me starting to watch?
Yes, you should. I think if you enjoyed the clips that you watched, then yeah, you'll enjoy the show. It's a great show.
I just like it because Cuban's on there.
And that's, in addition to Cuban, it's a great show because it teaches people things. It's an educational show that you don't hate. Because it's
still, when is it normally on? I tell you why I only caught bits and pieces.
I don't know.
It was on in the middle of the at like 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon on Channel 8. So I just assumed they went, well, we're not running anything new up against football.
Mm-mm.
So they were just, it was reruns of Shark Tank.
I don't know. I think at one point it was on Friday nights.
Does that ever get nasty?
Yes.
Does anybody ever throw out, I'm sorry, who got billions?
No, the Sharks, they get into arguments kind of back and forth.
But I've seen it before where one of the Sharks, let's say Cuban, got into it with one of the entrepreneurs. And the entrepreneur was like, well, he didn't like Cuban's terms or something. And Cuban's like, this is the best you're going to get. Mm-hmm. And you can take it right now. Or it's nothing. You get this or nothing. And the guy's like, well, I'm not sure. No, no, no. You don't understand. It's this or nothing. This is as much that I believe in it.
4, 3, 2. Oh, okay. Why are you counting?
You just lost it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cutthroat. They got to make that decision right then, too, man.
I don't see anybody else on this panel offering you money. Oh, I'm sorry. If you didn't need the money, why are you here?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great show.
Would you like it even if Cuban wasn't on it?
Probably,
only
but
because we know Mark.
But it's because of him that I actually have watched what I have.
All right. I may start. I just like the two doctors that had no idea. They thought they were going to come in wing it. Hey, we're doctors. I have no idea what their field was. But they were both wearing their scrubs. Like, well, that's going to impress me. Oh, well, that must mean you're a doctor. You got scrubs.
Okay.
And because they couldn't directly answer Mark's question. If you can't, as a doctor, explain to me why I want this product. Well, we plan on hiring people, but you're a doctor. Who knows this product better than you? And this was your idea. Ooh, no money for you.
I think that aspect of the show you would enjoy because it's sort of, you get to hold money over, watch the Sharks hold money over people's heads.
I wish there was like a white trash version of Shark Tank because I'd be on that. Oh, you need $500 for what? You want to open up a porn magazine and fish hatchery shop?
Yep, that's what I want to do.
Are fishermen big into porn?
Mm-hmm. You throw your bobber out in the lake, and you pull your wiener out, and you kill some time.
Yeah, somebody like TBS or one of the other networks should have a white trash. you're just begging. All right.
The RFD channel.
I'll tell you what. I'll give you the $500 for your fish hatchery and porn magazine shop. But I'm going to need the title to your car.
And then you spit your chaw.
And it's like that's your thinking process. All right, tell you what, Slick. Let me, what you would do here. I gave you $500 for this hatchery and porn thingy. But I'm going to need the title to your car.
You can call it Crappy Tank.
You crappie.
Yes.
You miss one day of paying me my money. You give me the title of your car. Why don't you go ahead and give me that John Deere hat off your head?
Is that a show of good faith? Next time on Crappie Tank.
Yeah, it's got to be something even smaller than crappie.
Guppy?
Pilot fish tank.
Ooh, that's good.
Hey. Well, we got money, but we're not really rich enough to be sharks. We can only drive sharks.
What are you doing?
I'd kind of like to start that. I think in a low-end fashion, it could, you know, people wanting to start small business, really small businesses, or they're trying to just get, you know, keep their car from being repossessed.
Yeah. Could be something like keeping the gas on.
It's a great idea that will never come to fruition. Somebody will steal it from me. I like that. Pilot fish tanker. Crappie tank.
People at pawn shops should start doing that kind of thing.
That's what they already do. Mm-hmm. I had this brand new stereo receiver that I paid $2,000 for a week ago. Mm-hmm. Give you $28. This is worth $1,000. Not to me. It's worth $22.
But the price went down.
I got the receipt. I paid $1,000 for it. This is brand new. It's not stolen. I can't make the payments. $14. Keep standing there. I'm going to charge you rent. Okay. Alfie, what's line one?
He's calling about one of the processes in Shark Tank if nobody picks up your idea.
Yes, Tony.
Hey, boss. I'm just letting y'all know, like, I had a friend of a family member that actually was talking about going on that show, and the reason they turned it down was because if they didn't get picked up on their idea, that the show would still, like, screw them over, and they would still get a percentage off of whatever they, like, made, like, the invention or whatever, if it did go big.
You get that, Dan?
I think so. I think what they're doing is they're basically charging some small percentage stake in the company by appearing on the TV show, because by appearing on the TV show, your sales will probably increase.
Right, yeah. That's what it would be. Like, just because you got your name out there, even if...
But you have to appear on the show.
Right. You have to get onto the show, and so it would be kind of dumb for you to go on that show and not take one of the offers, because you're going to lose money regardless, just because if you do make it...
I got it.
Yeah,
I didn't know, because a lot of times you can sign up to be on a show, you can be one of the standby contestants, whatever, and if you don't make it, it's like, well, I signed that paperwork that said they get a percentage. But if you're on the show, you got free TV, and I don't know how long they get to pitch their idea, but it's still free network television, and some people are going to Google it, see if the business ever took off, and yeah, you got something free out of it. I don't know what percentage ABC would want.
Right.
But it's still free television.
Yeah. And that would have to come through, just look at it as advertising.
But then again, they're not paying you to be on. They're getting you and your begging process for free. So that's kind of, that's squirrely.
Are they not giving them something, though?
I can't imagine all these people being a member of SAG-AFTRA.
No.
It's like game shows. You're a contestant. I don't think you get anything if you don't win.
Well, you get sometimes the exciting parting gifts.
Like what's a parting gift? Well, luckily for you today, we have celebrity here.
Hi, I'm Luke Bryan.
Who will give you a parting
gift,
which is a
hug.
Goodbye.
Don't run. Come back. I love to give hugs. Hi, I'm Luke Bryan.
I'd be curious to see what percentage that they would want. And how would ABC really follow that? With all the people that come and go.
Plus, I would think as a business owner, entrepreneur, that's everything's negotiable. So if I call up Shark Tank and be like, hey, I want to come on the show. Okay, cool. We're going to take 50% of your stuff. No, you're not.
Well, then you're not getting on the network show.
All right, fine. Or then negotiate it down and be like, hey, instead of that percentage, how about we do this?
And it may be a percentage after you reach, I don't know how it reads, but a percentage after you break even. Mm-hmm. So they're not taking money, so you can't pay your bills.
Right. And you might be able to cap the amount. You could find out, let's say you find out how much a 30-second ad would cost on Shark Tank. If your segment was 2.5 minutes, then put that in your deal.
There's probably an online. We'll do it for tomorrow. Look and see if there's an online form for Shark Tank.
Okay.
Because my guess it's going to be in there just so they can weed out a bunch of squirrels. Come on, go. I still got this idea. I really think this fish hatchery and porno magazine shop thing can work.
Man, I'm ready to invest in it. I think it's great.
Because along with the magazines, some of the magazines that we have of the women's vaginas are a scratch and sniff, and it smells like stink bait, which we feel is very accurate.
The Russ Martin Show, afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
6:35, another check on traffic over the MyPlates.com traffic center. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Walgreens. Hold on, going on. Let's get started off in Dallas. Southbound 45, right at I-20. Got an accident there. That one has you backed up back to Simpson Stewart. Also in Dallas, eastbound I-30, right at Ferguson. Earlier stalled vehicle there has been cleared out. Traffic still jacked up all the way back from the Mixmaster. Technically in Dallas, over Lake Ray Hubbard, eastbound I-30 just before Dalrock, got an accident there blocking the two left lanes. Traffic is backed up back from Broadway Beltline, about a half-hour delay through it. In Forest Hill, eastbound I-20, right at Wichita Street, got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic there is backed up back from 35W. And finally in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, right at Western Center, got an accident. It's blocking the right lane. That one has you backed up back from Keller Hicks. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by ExxonMobil. Clear tonight and windy, a low of 46. Tomorrow, sunny, and it stays windy. We had a high of only 54. Right now, 73 and 97.1 The Eagle.
Uncle Dan?
Yes?
How many penises can I look at before I'm gay?
How many do you think?
24.
The Russ Martin Show, only on 97.1 The Eagle.
All right, go ahead, Daniel.
Okay. We never actually finished the 18 biggest mistakes you can make on a first date. We still have the top five.
Catch me up with the ones we got.
All right. Arguing over the bill, being rude to the waiter or bar staff, checking out other people, eating garlic or bad breath, being on your phone, getting too drunk or just disproportionately drunk to your date, picking a bad location, talking about long-term plans like marriage and kids, inviting friends to meet up, talking about your ex, only talking about yourself, running out of things to discuss, burping, and that brings us to the top five.
I think what number one would be. This is to ruin a date?
This is to ruin a first date. Number one, if you guess it, I'll be really impressed. To me, it's one of those that I wouldn't have thought of, but when I read it, I was like, yeah, that'd be pretty bad.
Being late.
That is number three.
B.O.?
No. Two of them involve...
P.O.?
No.
Down there. That... Actually, it would be V.O.
Yeah. So... two of them involve... food or eating.
Eating like a pig?
Number two, eating like a pig.
How many got left?
You got three. You got five, four, and number one.
Smacking?
You're close. I'll give that to you. Chewing with your mouth open.
Oh, that's sort of smacking.
Yeah, it is. And then the opposite of eating like a pig would be number four.
Eating daintily?
Counting calories at the table.
Well, okay.
That's the thing.
No, it's not.
Well.
Eating daintily to me would be.
Oh, like pinky extended or something?
Yeah, well, I do that. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
Not eating like I do. Because I don't. Two left?
All right, one left, number one. It'd be really, really bad if you forgot this.
Money?
No, that would also be terrible.
Terrible.
Their name?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. See, that's one of those that you wouldn't have really thought of, but when you hear it, you're like, man, that would be bad. Ooh, man. Ooh. Because at some point, you're going to have to figure out a way to find out.
I was just... Because it's always a different scenario with me. When I go out, I've known somebody or...
Maybe been at least introduced to them prior.
It's been enough to where if I ask you out, I really want to go out because I think there's potential. If it's just banging, I got enough married chicks come by the house. I don't need that external dumpster.
Mm.
Because if I'm not really interested in you, you ain't nothing but a satellite dumpster.
It takes a lot for a woman to make it up the chain and become a main dumpster.
You want those little half ones with the plastic lids.
You're the ones the city only comes by once a week and picks up. You're not even good enough to go in the recycled can. So, forgetting their name, no. That's never going to be an issue. It's like, in fact, I haven't heard from her in about 3 or 4 weeks. You know, that Lauren Gifford chick I met back in the mid-aughts.
Yes, I do. Yeah, redhead singer.
I forgot how I met her. But once I saw her picture and she wanted to go out, I really kind of obsessed over that. I went, that's hot. And... And we dated for a few weeks, and who did I meet? Mona, chick that came up to the studio.
Right.
Little short chick, tight body. Adorable.
Mm-hmm. I always liked her.
And at that point, Lauren Gifford had a billboard for...
Furniture?
Not your way, but...
I remember what it is.
Cantone.
That?
Yeah, Cantone.
She had a couple of billboards up with her setting on some of their furniture. And Mona would go, I stole you from her. happy ears. And she'd hold her little fingers up next to her head. And when she was sad, she'd fold them down.
Make sad Jeffrey face.
I'm not very happy right now. That's all right. I'll take you home. I'll split them lips. It'll be okay. But yeah, out of nowhere, a month and a half ago, I got an email from Lauren Gifford. I think it's Chicago now. Just an email out of nowhere. Not like it was a build-up to anything, or it's an anniversary, or saw me in the news. Hey, so you got arrested.
So what you been up to?
I miss your face. Huh.
Do you know if she's in a relationship or anything? You just know that
I would guess she's not. She doesn't seem like the chick that would be trolling for guys.
Okay.
She's pretty enough to be in a relationship. Maybe she is mad at me because I dumped her for Mona in the little Jeffrey ears. God, that was a tight ass, too. God, she used to like to run all the time. I'd never seen an ass that tight ever at any point. It was like, I didn't even know that they came like this. I've seen nice asses, but nothing like that should be museum-ish. Yeah. I never even asked her to do anal because I didn't ruin it.
Well, if Lauren's emailing you, then she's obviously past that. That's in the past, and it's not. It doesn't matter. That's old news.
Maybe she's expecting me to follow up.
Well, you emailed her back.
Yeah, I forgot what I sent.
Send her something.
Okay. I think we were right in the middle of finishing up the script for the Halloween special.
Mm-hmm.
So I was focused on that. We were going to do it live. And
yeah, excuses.
Having to deal with Kenzie. What do you mean excuses?
You're finding excuses.
I'm sorry, my job
her.
Gets in the way of certain things. And some people just think, oh, I go home at the end of the night. Certainly no reason to think about the job until I get there the next day. No reason to come up on the weekend, work on a script.
All I'm saying is you could take 30 seconds and send her an email.
Well, at 30 seconds may lead to a phone call. It could last a couple hours that I don't have time for.
Well, no one says you have to answer the phone. It could just be a quick email, just to follow
me,
up.
Call me on the show. I think I even told her that. Hey, you want to talk? Call me on the show.
No, but then she sees it as that something, it's fodder for the show. It's not personal. And anything you say, she doesn't know if it's true.
Well, then I'll send you a picture of my when it's hard. How about that? Well, so you know I'm serious.
That would get the message across.
That's something.
And then the conversation we can have. I'm not going to talk. First of all, I don't talk dirty on the phone. So any conversation she and I had on the air, off the air, it's going to be about the same, short of specifics of, oh, you want to come to Dallas? What date? Pick you up. Stuff like that. Anything else? Really going to be the same conversation. So.
Then don't worry about it.
She wants it. You know the phone number here. I don't. Then you can look it up. I know it's got an 8 in it. What do you got? What do you got on hold, Alfie?
Those are people talking about how they screwed up dates. Line 1 is a good fix if you forget her name.
Yes, Eric. Eric. Static got a nice beat to it.
I know. I'm trying to see if I can figure out the tune. It's rock and roll all
nice.
Every day.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Perfect.
It's good. What did he want?
He was saying that he asked her if she was an organ donor, and when she said she wasn't sure, he asked to see her driver's license. Got her name that way.
So he forgot her name.
Exactly.
I just... Unless you're just going out nonstop just to be some type of social butterfly.
I read one of those.
I don't know how you forget chicks' names.
I read one of your matches that gets in the email for your online dating thing. One of them said...
That we set up as a bit.
Yes.
Okay. Because every time we talk about this, chicks think, oh, he's on a dating site. I could just email him directly and send him pictures.
Yeah, don't do
and
that.
Then you open it up, and then it's all makeup and grunting.
No, but I looked at one, and it was last week, and it said on there, if you're one of those guys that is a serial dater and tries to set up a date for each night of the week, I'm not your girl or whatever. And that's the only way I could envision someone forgetting the date's name, because I'm like you, Russ. It's if I've asked you out, then I feel like there's some interest there, and I probably already know your name.
Line 2?
Yep.
Michael?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, I was commenting on the losing a date on the first date. You don't pull up and honk. I honked. I was in a 78 bright orange Toyota Corolla, and the mom came out. Ended everything.
What'd you say?
I didn't. I just left. I couldn't say anything. I felt embarrassed.
Well, what did the mom say?
Oh, she came out screaming. She came out screaming, you will not honk at my daughter. I'm like, hey, okay, cool. I just pulled off and left.
What kind of house was it?
The old, 70s, maybe early 80s, something like that.
Man, I was praying for area? I was praying for a mobile home.
I know you were. I can see. Mike, how old were you when this happened?
I was 20, and I'm sorry, I was 17.
Okay.
I'm 35 now.
All right.
Well, the age doesn't matter. Why do you ask?
Well, because that's not how you do it. The mom was right to come out
even
and yell
17,
at it.
Even at 17, why'd you ask the age?
Because I was wondering if he did it like last week or if he was a kid.
Well, 17, still no excuse.
There isn't, but at least it's you can blame it on being a teenager as opposed to if he did it last week.
Okay, you did it at 17. You got your ass chewed. You ever do it again?
Oh, no. Oh, no. No, I've learned to respect women a lot better than that.
Okay, if all it takes is getting your ass chewed by mama. Did you ever end up going out with this chick?
We actually dated for about a year and a half through high school over in Garland.
You just couldn't pick her up at the house?
Nope. We never really went out. It was a school thing. And then when I finally got my first car, that's whenever I went to go take her out, and I screwed it all up.
Oh, no. Yeah, and it's not like, it's an orange car, so it's not like he can just show up in something, it stands out.
Exactly.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't do it, but I see, hey, I'm kind of showing off. I just got my first car.
Right.
I'm going to pull up. I'm going to honk so the whole family can look out the window and admire my traffic cone. Yeah, later on in it, into a relationship, if they say, we've been dating for a while, let's pull out front and honk. Cool. Especially if it's cold, I don't want to get out of the car. If they offer. But even in long-term relationships, I don't ever remember pulling out front and honking.
Mm-mm.
Now, if we live together and I've been sitting in the car and you were supposed to be in that car 35 mm-hmm. minutes ago, I'm honking.
I will.
And
blow.
They know my code. One honk is let's go. Three honks is I'm leaving.
That's nice because I was thinking, man, I'll blow this thing till it dies. It's going to stay on until you get out here.
Honk, honk.
What?
Why are you honking?
Why don't you guess?
Because
you're not in the car. Think I'm honking at the house so it'll move? That other than living together? No, I don't honk it.
I actually got
I don't know what type of persona I'm supposed to project on the air. It's people that act like bitches get treated like bitches. Women that don't act like that get treated like queens, princesses. I'll open the car door. I'll walk up to the house. I'll pay the bill. I'll do everything that Lycus says don't. I don't care how many times he chews my ass.
Yeah, I think you're doing fine.
There's an aspect of chivalry that I can't turn loose of. I take my hat off when I meet a woman.
But see, and I think those are good qualities. I think it would be better to have those qualities than to only go after the Lycus 101 stuff. Like the Lycus 101 stuff is fine if all you're trying to do is just get laid and have a different chick every
night.
Well,
that's what Tom says.
Right.
Hey, your job is to go out there and just get laid. Three dates, cut bait, it's just no. Now, if you're looking for a long-term relationship, you can't really go with, sorry, Tom, Lycus 101.
Mm-hmm.
Although it is a pretty good filter to get rid of the chicks that are just looking for a free ride. I should have listened to Lycus about Mandy.
Because what was it he said about Mandy?
That he hit her in the head with a hammer?
See?
Is that the one?
Probably.
All right, last break. We'll be back.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
Hi, it's me again, Luke Bryan from the Luke Bryan Shopping Network. Don't forget our Sunday mega sale on Jason Waite brand products. Try out Jason Waite butt wipes. Each one of these soft butt wipes is emblazoned with the face of Jason Waite. Do you not consent to having your butt covered in nasty, stinky old doo-doo? Well, fear not. Jason Waite brand butt wipes are super effective at cleaning up your duty. But that's not all. Just like the real Jason Waite, these butt wipes will devour up urine, cat, dog, and baby duty. And they even work great at cleaning up dirty sand cheeses. Need to pee but can't stop what you're doing? Jason Waite is here to help with a Jason Waite portable urinal. Each portable urinal is shaped like Jason Waite's stupid fat head. You can experience the joy of peeing directly into Jason Waite's gaping maw. And just like the real Jason Waite, each portable urinal can hold up to 1.33 liters of smoking hot urine. Order before 3 p.m. on Sunday and get 2-for-1. That's the kind of hot deals you only get on the Luke Bryan Shopping Network. Check local TV listings for details.
658, this is KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over to myplates.com traffic center. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic is brought to you by Walgreens. Let's get started off in Dallas, westbound I-20, right at Polk Street. Got an accident there. It's blocking the right lane. Traffic is backed up back from I-35. Also in Dallas, westbound 635, just before Webb Chapel. Got an accident there. That one has traffic jacked up back from the High 5. About a half hour delay through that. Still in Dallas over Lake Ray Hubbard, eastbound I-30, just before Dalrock. Got an accident there, blocking the two left lanes. Traffic there is backed up back from Broadway Beltline. About a half hour delay through that as well. And in Forest Hill, eastbound I-20 at Wichita Street, got an accident there. That's in the clearing stages now. Traffic still backed up back to 35W. Finally, in Fort Worth, southbound 35W at Western Center, still got that accident blocking the right lane. Traffic is backed up back from Keller Hicks. Listen to Chris Ryan at 12:25 in the afternoon all this week for a shot to win a pair of tickets to the Toys for Tots event at Trees featuring Gemini Syndrome and Nonpoint, November 21st, plus a $50 gift card to Twin Peaks. Details are at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by ExxonMobil. Clear and windy tonight, 46 for the low. Tomorrow, sunny and a high of only 54. It's 73 right now at 97.1, the Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show rocks the Metroplex.
The Russ Martin Show, afternoons on 97.1, the Eagle.
What do we got left?
Scientists have discovered... that was all so perfect.
I know this story.
Yeah.
And that was the worst one to flub the headline.
Pretty much. Scientists discover a stupid virus. Yeah. Scientists in the United States discovered a virus that actually makes people stupid. It's called ATCV-1 and was initially only known to appear in algae. But now researchers believe the virus may be transferred to humans through DNA.
Hey, Claude, while Dan's reading this, load up a Christmas song. We haven't played one off the air in a few days. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dan.
Researchers say the green algae is very common among inland bodies of fresh water, such as lakes and ponds. This is the first documented instance of the DNA of algae traveling to another biological kingdom. Scientists conducted a study with 92 participants. 40 tested positive for the stupid virus, and they did worse on cognitive and intelligence tests. DNA from the algae could be found in throat swabs from healthy humans. When tested on mice, the contagion broke through the barrier between blood and tissue, altering the activity of genes in their brains. One of the genes affected the most were those that produce dopamine, which influences memory, spatial awareness, emotion, and pleasure. It's still
so. This really is coming close to explaining why Chloe is the way Chloe is, because Chloe goes to the lake all the time.
Hey, I was just thinking the same thing. I must have this.
We should get a throat swab and check.
I'd really be curious.
It's still unclear how ATCV-1 comes to infect humans, but I think Russ has a theory. It's being at the lake all the time.
Well, that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, but they're just saying they still don't know exactly how you would get it.
Well, it gets up into your ears. No, sometimes you'll swallow lake water, go up your a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really matter. Just getting in the water and absorbing it. There's a transference of fluids just when you sit in a tub. Not osmosis. What is it? What is it, Alfie?
Just absorption.
I think you're thinking of osmosis.
All right, then. I got one right.
Osmosis would be like if you sat next to the pond.
No. If you're sitting in the pond, you're going to...
It's an exchange of fluids.
Yeah, exactly.
Osmosis.
That's absorption.
Well,
it's
still the same thing. Okay. Osmosis.
I thought...
And you absorb it through the meniscus.
Okay. The meniscus is not... I am not a smart man, but I know what meniscus is.
What is it?
It's the stuff in your knee.
Alfie, that's not what it is it?
Meniscus, yeah.
What's that little thing when water kind of curves up when it's set in a cup?
Oh, crap. That's the,
I'm close.
Let me look it up.
All right. What are you going to Google for?
Yeah, how do you search that?
Graduated cylinder.
Oh, he's right, yeah.
That's what it's called?
No, that's the, if you have a graduated cylinder like in chemistry class, and then you get that little bubble thing.
Oh.
Whatever that thing's called.
I think I'm close on that one.
I bet you
he's
are.
He's right.
What is it?
Meniscus.
Bam! Look at that.
Community College. Go Harvesters. Home of the mesquite meniscus.
That's really not intimidating either definition you use.
Why do you call yourself your football team the Mesquite Meniscus? Well, we're pretty good, but we're slightly hunchbacked. It's a little curve. Next week, we're playing the Saxony Scoliosis.
Oh, man.
All right. I know you want to go.
No. It's just getting me. I don't know why. It just is.
Just think of the football players. Play for the Saxony Scoliosis. Yeah, come on.
Meanwhile, the team from Plano seems like this feels like they might be a little outmatched. This doesn't seem fair. Maybe we should just, you know, forfeit really this game and send them down the road to play the Rockwall Rheumatoids. Sexy Scoliosis. That's a screwed up looking mascot.
Hey, we got what we got. It looks like the guy from Nosferatu.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Laundry pods. Those colorful packets that can be easily tossed into the washing machine are not just convenient, they're dangerous for young children, sending on average one a day to the hospital. New research found that from...
One a day in this country.
Yes. From 2012 to 2013, U.S. Poison Control Centers received reports of 17,230 children younger than age 6 swallowing, inhaling, or being exposed to chemicals in laundry detergent pods.
Why is it kids will get into stuff, small kids,
mm-hmm.
that we'll say once it can't really, they can crawl, but they can't really open cabinets, whatever. I'm trying to think of the same level of dogs. My dogs have never gotten into anything other than food.
They actually...
Why is it kids will eat crap that dogs won't? Now, if they were little laundry pouches full of vomit, I understand the dogs get into it.
Sure. Well, they actually mentioned in this story as far as the common sense is you keep that stuff out of reach of children, but they figure, okay, how does a kid still get it? It could be where if you go to a laundromat, you put the detergent on the top of the basket, and then that's where it could get down to a child's reach there.
Why don't you just put it in the cabinet over the washer or dryer?
But they're saying is if you don't have a washer and dryer and you have to go to a laundromat, you take that stuff with you and you put it in the basket right on top, which is now at the level of the child that could get at it.
Okay, well then I guess the answer is start making the pod stink. Because that's about the only time, if it's colorful.
They are colorful.
It looks like a toy, then the kid will want to touch it, but if it stinks, I don't want it. Alfie, what is line 1?
He's calling to question you about something.
Oh. Yes, Kenneth.
Brooks and Dunn, really?
Brooks and Dunn what?
It wouldn't be a country Christmas without you, boss.
Oh. Are you looking at your radio right now?
Yes, sir.
What's it say now?
Hold on. Yeah. It still says Brooks and Dunn.
Oh. It'll change.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It has to. Sorry. Go ahead, Dan.
Okay. So anyway, the laundry pods. The study found that effects of consuming laundry pods included vomiting, 48% of the cases, coughing and choking, eye pain or irritation, drowsiness or lethargy, mouth pain, burning, difficulty breathing, and windpipe injuries. While vomiting is a symptom with traditional liquids and powders, typically it happens once or twice, and that's the end of it. A number of children had to be admitted to intensive care and intubated, while a handful even fell into a coma. To avoid exposure...
Does it say what age children we're talking about?
Under 6.
Okay.
Under 6 was the one a day from 2012 to 2013.
All right, again, conversation people have all the time. And an old man conversation. But how is it we could have Jackson balls, the game, little metal things we never swallowed, we never died from? We had metal spikes that we would throw in the yard into rings. Mm-hmm. We had rat trap bike pedals. We had all types of things with sharp edges. And oh, look, for Christmas, I got a bag of razor shards. Oh, boy.
It's my favorite game.
It's new by Hasbro. Razor Shards.
It's my new favorite game. It's called Bleed Out.
The only problem is, if you win, you don't got no more friends to play with.
Were you going to say something? Well, you say that, and that is accurate. We all made it through that gauntlet of dangerous toys. But the reason why those toys don't exist or they have the age limits on them now is because some of our peers didn't make it or they were injured. Lawn darts ceased to exist because people got hurt.
I don't know. I think it's all it takes is a small percentage of somebody getting hurt. I'm surprised any drugs are ever approved by the FDA because there are always these. All it takes, if they did a study of 2 million people, and if one person got a headache, they have to list that as a possible side effect.
Right.
And that could ruin it for everybody. Lawn darts, all right, so one kid got it in the eyeball one time. BB guns, they still sell those?
Yes, they do.
How do they get away with that? That's more dangerous than a lawn dart.
Was it?
A BB gun?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean, the lawn darts weren't that sharp. They were metal, and it was kind of a dull point.
Okay. Yeah, see, I never got a chance to play with the lawn darts.
Line two, Alfie?
Yep.
Yes, Woody.
Hey, thanks, boss. I love Ronnie Millsap.
I will play more for you.
Thank you. Y'all rock. Thank you.
I really hate to be a trailblazer, but this has really to be the only show that people watch the radio display as opposed to what's coming out through the speakers. I wonder what they're not playing.
That is pretty forward thinking.
Change.
I don't care what they're talking about. I'm just going to sit here in the car and watch and see what they're not playing. Because it wasn't until last week or the week before I figured out, as long as we pull the song out of the Clear Channel server, I can fire it off on the console. It'll show on iHeart or the radio display that we're playing it.
Yep.
Got nothing to do with volume. It's all meta tags and Yodas and shit. Well, one more. I don't want to have them get bored with what's on the display.
You want to keep it fresh.
I don't even care about talking anymore.
Also, to avoid exposure, one of the experts recommended that people who have young children in their home simply refrain from using laundry pods. Or if you do have them in your home, he said, just keep them out of sight somewhere the kids cannot reach them.
I don't know if I ever... No, I never ate laundry detergent. I'm trying to think if I ever ate anything odd as a child. I'd eat the uncooked macaroni in school when we had the art, but it was before we glued it to something.
Okay.
Not like I made this nice piece of artwork and went, oh, I must eat that.
Did you ever just eat the glue?
No.
I didn't.
Even though the paste was really just kind of flour, water, and something else.
Yeah, with the paste, I'd always do the thing where you'd put the glue on your hand, wait for it to dry, then peel it off. But I never ate it.
But that's just playing around.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember eating all that stuff that they always said not to. There was that cricket, but that's... Yeah.
I didn't get that one.
I don't know why.
Were you hungry?
No, I was just...
Curious?
I couldn't even tell. I don't even know how old I was. I might have been 2 or 3.
You don't remember it. Somebody told you you did it.
Yeah.
So they could have lied.
I guess they could have, but I was a fat kid, man. That wouldn't surprise me.
Do you remember the time that you were 3 and you ate a Lincoln throat? I ate a werewolf. Yes.
That's what happens. You don't give me my snack packs.
I had low blood sugar, so I had to eat a werewolf. Excuse me a second. Yes, Austin?
Hey, what's going on, Russ?
Nothing.
I'm delivering pizzas, and I got in the car, and I saw Ronnie Millsap on the radio. I turned it up, and you guys are still talking. And I looked over, and then I saw that it was Rosie O'Donnell and Cher.
Yeah, you missed the big Christmas music sweep.
Oh, God.
That's what you get for dropping off the pizza.
Oh, yeah. You know, I work for Pizza Hut and pizza, and I thought that was funny that me and you both work for this place.
You work where?
I work at Papa John's right now, but I worked in the Pizza Hut in South Lake, and I worked at a Pizza Inn over off of 35.
Yeah, I'm going to guess there's a good gap. Well, if I keep doing this crap, you and I may be working together. Never mind. Hang on, let me look at the computer. What's playing right now?
Yeah, what do you got?
It's none of your business.
Well, I'm curious.
Go sit in the car.
Man, this radio station sucks. It's the only station that doesn't tell you what song they're not playing.
That's the whole reason for the RDS or whatever the thing is called. It displays on your radio.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody said anything yet. Nobody in management.
How is that? I mean, at least something. If not,
well, the whole idea is to be more of a full service radio station. Hey, I wonder what song that is. Oh, I will look at the display on my radio. Okay, I'm listening to a talk show that's obviously being done by Ronnie Millsap.
But it's not.
Were we done with the eating detergent?
Yeah.
You ate cricket? A cricket.
I ate a cricket. Yeah, it wasn't like it was a...
But think of all the things that we did as kids and we didn't die. I used to masturbate on the roof and fall off.
I don't know how that's...
I used to pee in electrical outlets just to watch the spark. You connect one time, you'll stop. Yeah, I used to stick tweezers in the electrical outlet just to watch it spark.
Mm-hmm. I do that with the paper clip.
My mom said I did that all the time. It's like, why didn't you take the tweezers away from me? Well, I figured, you know, you'd make a good connection one time, blow out a tooth, you'd stop.
I remember one time saying, because it was in the 80s when they had started having, or I don't know when they first started, the outlet plugs. I remember seeing one of those, and I was like.
The outlet. What?
Like, it's the plastic covering that you plug into the outlet. So I looked at that one time, and I was like, ha! I just pulled it out. What is that? Is this supposed to stop me from getting the spark I so desire?
That is not a deterrent. I am 4 years old. You and your little plastic cover will not deter me.
Mm-mm.
Now watch what I do with this bent coat hanger. And I never understood the attraction. I wonder, or how I knew that there would be a spark come from that outlet.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, at a certain age, you have some understanding of electricity. Hey, this runs on electricity, and we plug that in there. So maybe I can see what electricity looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I never got a complete connection.
No kidding.
Oh, electricity makes me look like Ready Kilowatt. And then you got to pee on one.
That I never did.
I did because we had them out in the garage.
Okay.
Hey, I got to pee. Like, I'll just pee in that electrical outlet.
Ooh, man. I don't know why I never had that thought. Thank God I didn't.
And I remember in my head thinking, all right, kind of just sling the piss past it to see if anything happens so you don't make a complete connection to see if the water does something.
Mm-hmm.
And this is long before the... EFI?
GFCI?
The breakers.
Okay.
That each outlet had.
So it had you connected.
But at least something in your brain that says, do not make complete contact with the outlet. Just kind of sling it past. And my mom would always, you're out peeing in the garage again, aren't you? How do you know? Because there's piss streams all over the drywall. Mark did it.
I'd have been so pissed if I was your dad and your mom.
You can't come in the house and pee? No. Ain't no outlet in the corner.
I can't do it in front of you guys.
Yeah, really.
All right, give me one more.
All right. Oscar Pistorius may be forced to stay in jail because he has no ankles for electronic tagging.
That's not... I don't even need the story.
For more information on The Russ Martin Show, go to RussMartin.com. To get signed up for The Russ Martin Show audio archives, go to RussMartin.fm. Other show websites, DJClo.net, DanOMalley.com, AlfieCoy.com. You can find and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram as well for all things. 97.1 The Eagle, go to KEGL.com. Nikki Six is up next.
All right, see you guys tomorrow.
Later.
Show. Rocks the Metroplex.